Hey, and welcome to Crippled System, episode 214. My name is Andy, and I play Butchers and a lot of other Guild Ball teams, and Kador.
My name is Jake. I am currently playing Grimkin, but I'm looking a lot at Trolls because I'm excited about the new Northkin stuff.
And I'm Dave, and I play War Machine.
Okay, that's a positive answer. That's not Kador. So that's
are you playing? Are you
maybe
playing?
Kador.
Son of a bitch.
So Themocalypse dropped on Friday. A lot of big theme changes. I was happy with almost all of them.
We're going to go to announcements. We have a normal pattern that we go through. We go through announcements, and then we ramble for a little bit, and then we go into some kind of news.
Something announcement, happened. Themocalypse dropped on Friday. I'm pretty happy with almost all of it.
Announcements, we have Rick's event that's happening that Rick can't make it to on October 21st.
Oh, Rick's running an event?
Yeah, Rick's running an event
in absentia?
Yeah. Champions event.
Wait, wasn't this the event that you that you volunteered Rick for?
No, this is a different one.
No, this is the event that you volunteered Rick for.
Oh my god! So for the whole thing, he's like, "How do you expect me to do this?" At no point did he just go, "No," where I would have just been like, "Okay."
Yeah, no, you said Rick, you need to run this event, and then he started to run the event, and now he's going through back surgery next week.
Yeah, I should point out that
you
told Rick that he should run this event after you had reserved the room for the event.
No, I reserved a Sunday.
Why'd you reserve a Sunday?
I didn't actually reserve a Sunday.
Who did you talk to?
I talked to Lori, and it was a Sunday 2 weeks ago.
That was not right. It was the wrong person to talk to. You have to talk to one of the store managers, not the store owner.
Yeah, but like Lori's cool. So
Lori is very cool. She is awesome.
We still need a banner for the store.
We're working on it.
We're going to make a banner. It's going to be awesome.
Josh asked me to get him some of the graphic arts I've made, so I'll get that over to him.
Yep. And then we'll make shirts. It'll be sweet.
Why can I not go to Facebook?
And we are going to go travel to other stores with our matching shirts and our banner, and people are going to look at us and say, "What kind of lunatics are you?"
It will be
glorious.
I just was encouraging everyone to, just like, let's travel more, and let's kind of, we can get a shirt, and everyone will have shirts.
This is a secret. This is a secret. Nobody knows about this. Well, nobody's going to listen to this podcast so no one else is going to know about this anyway.
Are we streaming now?
Yeah. We're streaming. We've been streaming for, since I did the intro.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, well. The point of it is, I think the banner's a step too far. Because once we're in the store, you're like, oh, hey, they have a banner. But like 5 minutes after that, it's just like, we're like 9 or 10 guys with a banner at that point. But we're just people whatever. I don't care.
I say after we steal everyone's toys, then we get a banner.
Okay, that's fine. I think what we could do, too, is just if we get first, second, and third, we have like a little printout and we just like put it on one of their walls. That's just the Pegasus logo.
Well, we used to report it on Crippled Systems' website. We did it for a long time there. And it was basically myself, Brian, and I'd have to look at it again.
Was that like pre-Keith?
Yeah. Well, no, it was during Keith's times.
Okay.
Do we have? I'd have to look at terms. I'd have to check out some other things here.
But yeah, themes.
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 Theme Forces got dropped.
Yeah, I'm actually really happy with all of the changes, even the Signar ones, because just the inclusion of Mercs can really add a lot of variety to Signar Theme Forces. And I played Kane 3, and I couldn't get that fourth solo anyway, so haha.
The amount of salt that's going on in at least two of the Facebook...
The Retribution group is drowning in salt.
It's been pretty horrible. Signar is going pretty bad, too, because Heavy Metal did get changed. Whatever.
Yeah.
Kador was kind of salty for a little bit there, too, because Wolves of War got... Jaws of Death?
Jaws of the Wolf.
Jaws of the Wolf?
Yeah. Jaws of the Wolf is the Kador theme. The guy's nerfed.
Yeah, like Peter the Wolf.
Yeah. Oh. But, yeah, they lost their anti-AD tech. And
they lost their anti-AD tech, but did pick up Merc Inclusion, although I'm not sure how much that really matters.
I think the anti-ambush thing's pretty nice, to be honest with you. Like, especially being like someone who's looking at Northkin, the bears ambushing is an incredibly powerful tool. It kind of cordons off almost, I think it's like 15 inches on each board edge of, bears will come at your face. So losing the
Yeah, I mean, it's
definitely losing. That's pretty brutal.
I mean, I've said I'm actually working on putting together a Harkovich Jaws list, and I mean, yeah, I think losing AD is a significant nerf, especially into Steamroller 2017, where you really need to be able to get up there and exert scenario pressure early. Mm-hmm. So losing that extra 6 inches in some cases is a big deal. But at the same time, Harkovich likes not having to deal with ambush. And honestly, having deny AD, I think, is a bad thing for the game. So I think it's definitely a win to remove it, even if I'm working on a list that I was like, oh.
Absolutely.
But I still think it's a significant step forward overall.
It's a frustrating thing. It's having basically your game element being taken away by somebody else. Ambush doesn't really affect as many things out there in the game. I mean, there's a couple solos that have ambush. There's a couple units that have ambush. It's not taking away, like, one whole...
I mean, it nerfs bump pretty badly.
Wait, yeah. how many things can ambush in there?
All
the murder crows. One of the bump benefits is murder crows gain ambush.
Okay.
So it kind of sucks for that, but... I mean, I have two lists that use Bump for Grimkin, and I don't use Murder Crows on either one of them, but I can kind of see where they go. I just don't play Heretic, is honestly why I don't.
Sure, sure.
Well, I don't really use Murder Crows, but, you know.
Yeah, here's our list of events that we had kept track of until 2015.
Oh, we'll bring it back.
Atomisk. We still have a couple of those. We had no Skittles.
Vega Genesis brings up a really good point on our feed as well, bringing up the changes to Band of Heroes and Power Dunia are absolutely amazing. The Dunia not gaining Serenity is fantastic for that theme.
I guess for some of those that didn't pay attention to the actual changes, so you just mentioned them, though, but when we talk about changes, let's mention actually what they are, because I have no idea.
Oh, so Dunia not gained Serenity in Power Dunia, which is pretty cool. There is a threshold bonus, but I can't remember the exact numbers, so I'm not going to say them without knowing. But the really cool one is Band of Heroes change. It went from having just Champs, Long Riders, and Warders, I think, gave free solo. Oh, hey, someone wrote it down for me. It went from Champs, Long Riders, and Warders to all units gain count towards free solos. Mm-hmm. And then I think the biggest one, and it's kind of under the radar, is that you can now take the Rune Bearer in that theme force, which is amazing. Between the change to Runebearer, getting the Squire benefit of +2 inches on control range, and just making it cheaper.
I guess this is also talking about changes to the theme forces that have not populated any bugs that were reported yet, because they dropped on Friday, and there's been a bunch of bugs.
Yeah.
Like some Merc solos not being able to be taken by certain forces. Yeah.
I think I've got most of those fixed in Conflict Chamber now. There's still an issue with I think there's both a Protectorate and a Kador theme that if, when you take the Mercenary and then add your attachment that makes it friendly faction, the freebie points aren't being correctly calculated for there. But I've got most of the stuff working in Conflict Chamber. Also, incidentally, thank you for everyone that has been using that this weekend and reporting bugs, because I've gotten a ton of them and been able to get them fixed pretty quickly. And I always appreciate the bug reports.
Arctic Circle, just so you know, the AD, the ambush for Murder Crows in Bump is both units of Murder Crows can ambush, not just one. That was a change between CID and launch.
Yeah, it was one in CID. It's all now.
Yep.
I'm hoping that all these get finalized soon so I can make up my my cards that we can publish. I really like the cards, and they're so much better than trying to deal with the text in War Room.
Yeah. Arctic Circle mentioned that you can get free Eilish in Bump, which is pretty cool. I think Bump does specify you get a free Grimkin solo, but if it doesn't, Eilish is actually fantastic in that theme.
Mm-hmm. So let's look at a couple of the themes specifically. Heavy Metal changed. The Signar Jack theme, Heavy Metal changed. And that's one of the more noticeable changes, because it went down from 25 points of Warjacks to 30 points of Warjacks being the threshold for getting free stuff. It did, however, pick up Long Gunners, which I'm not sure changes anything.
It doesn't.
And it can pick up Mercenary Battle Engines, which I don't think changes anything, and Mercenary Units, which might.
I think it does. a lot of heavy metalists I've run have been wanting units for just for zone control. And while the mechanics can fit that role pretty well, a lot of the times I'll end up with usually 7 points left over after I have the whole package. And that slots in a really great kind of min unit of house, or not house guard, halberdiers, of iron, the merc helves. I'm blanking on their name right now.
Steelhead.
I almost said house guard, then I almost said iron fang. Neither of those are correct. But that like works really well on that list. They're a really cheap unit that can actually hold his own pretty well. They have set defense too, so they're kind of hard to charge. And it's, you know, six guys for 7 points is always a great steal.
Yep.
Sons of the Tempest also changed, but no one cares.
Yeah. I mean, probably the noticeable thing about Sons of the Tempest is that it is the only one that gets actually the free solos for 15 points of models taken, and it's still bad.
Yeah, it specifies Arcane Tempest. Now, there's a couple more Arcane Tempest units released in the future. That could be pretty cool. And then I think you can do some pretty interesting stuff using Jack Marshalls and using...
You guys want some? Because otherwise you can get your own glasses. And
I'm good.
All right.
Using the Rune Shot for magical weapons and including that with the new... Gunmage solo to get like +4 pow on a gun is pretty sweet.
Yep. Storm Division, I think the only change in Storm Division was Merc Inclusion.
Yep.
I mean, it's probably worth mentioning that that Merc Inclusion is great for a lot of the Signar list because now everyone except Heavy Metal can take Ragman.
Yeah, I think it's absolutely necessary to take Ragman as your free solo in Gravediggers.
Gravediggers, yeah.
I'm trying to call them by their actual names, not just the Storm one and not the Trencher one, but I'll probably end up just defaulting to, you know, what they are.
Have you had Fireball and Whiskey?
No.
Or Fireball and A&W?
I've never had Fireball. I've never had an A&W.
You never had A&W Root Beer?
No.
How have you managed that?
Oh, my God.
It's a little strong, but you want to try it.
You're one of us now, Jake.
Oh, that's a kick in the teeth.
It's not that bad. You want some, Dave?
Let me have a taste, yeah.
Have you not had before?
I have not had this particular combination.
No, it's what we used on the Trollcast.
Yeah, that's pretty tasty.
Best.
Mm.
If you want a glass, you can just go downstairs, get a glass, get your own A&W.
I actually, me and Megan went to a Mexican restaurant last night, mm-hmm. and I had 3 margaritas, which is probably 2 margaritas more than I should have. So,
oh, next time off. I'll make margaritas. It'll be fun.
Ooh, are we going to go to Ritaville?
Yes.
Yes.
I hate that.
That song is terrible, by the way. I hate that song so much.
You know what's really annoying about Jimmy Buffett is probably one of the greatest music. I would say theaters in it. What would it be like a musical arena area?
Venue,
thank you. Probably the greatest music venue in the area is Alpine.
Okay.
Oh, fucking A. I can't think of the place now. Alpine Valley.
Yeah.
It's an amazing venue, and they only have fucking Jimmy Buffett there every year.
Jeez, that sucks.
It's the worst. It's where I saw Ozfest there. It's probably one of the greatest venues you'll ever see. When you walk up to the venue, you don't even hear the band. You walk over a small hill, and then there's just like a whole deep valley, just with the stage at the bottom of the valley, and then just rows and rows of people.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
It's actually the one where the guitarist died. I can't think of... Died in a helicopter crash coming out of Alpine Valley. I cannot think of his name.
No, that doesn't make
sense. But anyway, it is a great venue, and unfortunately, only Jimmy Buffett gets to fucking play there now.
Yeah, that is unfortunate.
Yeah, you guys were talking about a theme force.
Oh, so the
Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Stevie Ray Vaughan, yes.
Okay, hey, we got there. So what's the next theme force on the list?
All right, Creator's Might. We're into the Protectorate stuff. Creator's Might did not change other than getting Merc Inclusion.
You gotta make sure you talk into the mic.
Yeah, yeah. Creators might did not change other than Merc inclusion. I'm not sure that really even makes that much of a difference.
Creators might is the Jack one?
Yeah, the Jack theme.
Okay.
Don't play it. Don't play anybody around here with it because you don't have any protectorate players.
Yeah, I've been playing that. I used to play Creators Might a lot.
We have like done it in a while. Four.
No, everyone plays Rhett.
Yeah, well, everyone does play Rhett, but we have like four people who have protectorate who've played Protectorate, and they just aren't playing it right now.
Well, Andy, I'm doing something about that. I'm stopping playing Rhett and going to start playing Kador.
You can play Rhett all you want. it was frustrating taking my list against Case that had that was anti-shooting tech, and he didn't have any shooting at all whatsoever. Yeah. So my caster was not as useful as she should have been.
Yeah, my first three test lists for Old Witch 3, when I'm like, I'm going to take all melee and just make sure I can deliver a billion cheap dudes with Weapon Master.
Mm-hmm.
First few people I played against, none of them had any guns, so I'm just like, I go forward and don't cast Windstorm, I guess, but whatever.
She is pretty good. You can use the range amplifier on her to make it so she can cast Scourge.
Yeah, that's what I really ended up doing, that and, like, except for the delivery turns, I've hellholed just a lot. Just constantly grind out, like, add two or three guys. And that might just be, like, a Grimkin unique thing.
It is. It's the one thing that she does. I think hers, Arcane Recalibration, is that on her?
Yeah, her feet.
Yeah, it's not recalibration. It's basically where your battle group misses, you get to reroll.
Yeah,
So she has that. Mm-hmm. What is the one thing that she doesn't have?
She's the exact same caster.
No, she has two abilities that are different. Hellhole ability is different, and then her Kador version has got something that's different.
Oh, there's like reconstruct versus respawn, which is the same spell.
It's the same spell.
She's got the rule old school, which is she doesn't have a feet. Or she doesn't have Arcana, she has feet.
Never mind. I'm going to look her up.
I don't know. I'm interested, though.
All right. Next, Exemplar Interdiction.
Huzzah!
The Protectorate Exemplar theme. Again, this is another one that the Merc Inclusion is the only significant change here. I think Merc Inclusion actually matters here because when I was playing casters with Exemplar, specifically Kreas 1 and Kreas 3, I liked having Gorman in the list because unlike Creator's Might, which really, in my view, favors Amon with a lot of melee jacks, if you have a lot of Redeemers, which are still really, really good, Gorman lets you blind stuff and then hit them with Redeemers while the target is standing, which is otherwise pretty hard to get.
Andy, on our discussion earlier, Vega Genesis posts, Grimkin, she brings back Grunts, and Kotter, she has
Battlegroup Fortune. So that's what I thought it was. So she has Divinator on her Battlegroup. I thought she had that in Grimkin.
I did,
Grimkin.
Too. I'm going to take a look.
It might be Power Magnifier. Can you spend one focus for cheaper? Cause your spells to be cheaper?
She does have that.
So
her Arcane Machination, or Arcane Machinery is Arcane Calibrations, Divinator, Hellhole, Range Amplifier, and Vexing Alignment.
So, it's Power Magnifier then for the Old Witch. Power Magnifier, she can spend a focus point at any time during the activation to give two focus points to a Warjack in his battle group.
Okay. Yeah. No, she does not have that one.
Yep.
There we go. Problem solved for Tangent.
I thought she was absolutely the same caster, but it's pretty cool that she's not.
No, she is. She is not. That's why I have to get two versions of her for Who's the Boss.
Oh, okay.
Which means I'm going to have to make a Warlock version of the Kator version, and I'm going to have to make a Warcaster version of the Grimkin version.
You can borrow my my Old Witch.
Is she going to be painted by?
If Don's watching, he's the best person to answer.
Yeah.
Because I'm not doing that.
Well, I actually asked Don to be on the podcast tonight.
Don, where are you?
He's not here.
I hope he's listening.
He's out of town.
Oh. I hope he listens. Wish you were here to answer a question about when my stuff's getting painted.
He's out. You know what happened to him? You took care of it?
No, he was working out of town this week.
Yeah, no. That's the message I got back from him.
Yep. Next one, Faithful Masses, which I think is the most interesting of the Protectorate themes.
Agreed.
Primarily because it adds, Idrians are one of the allowed units that you get freebie credit for. And Idrians are still one of the best infantry models in the game. And, I mean, this was they were really popular in the beginning of Mark III. They fell out of interest because Friday was the first time they were legal in a theme.
Mm-hmm.
But so we've got a theme that allows you to take some really great infantry, and it has one of the best special rules in the game, and that is that Protectorate Heavy Warjacks and Colossals gain Hand of Vengeance, which is if a warrior is destroyed or removed from play by enemy attacks within 5 inches, they get +2 melee attack and +2 melee damage for a round.
That's pretty cool.
Yes. Notably that this did change from the CID version, because the CID version allowed the benefit to happen to all warjacks, which created some kind of ridiculous Amon lists. So that was I had calculated out that you had a theoretical 15-inch threat range with a mat 12 POW 20 dervish, something ridiculous like that.
That seems all right.
Yeah, no, yeah, nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this one is, I think this really opens up Protectorate list building, and I'm sure we'll see a lot from this. It also allows Tristan, which is honestly my primary complaint with the Exemplar Interdiction right now, is that there are a lot of Protectorate lists that really want their junior, and he's not an Exemplar Interdiction, but he is in Faithful Masses. He has Idrians, he has the Deliverers, which are good now, and a great benefit. So I'm sure we'll see a lot of useful stuff out of this list.
Yeah, Faithful Masses, I think, is just... It's interesting to see that there is a theme force that is a lot broader than a lot of the other ones, because you can take most of the faction in that, I think. There's some specific stuff you can't, but a lot of stuff you can.
Well, you can take most of the good stuff in the faction.
Yeah.
that's a better way of putting it. Speaking of not taking the good stuff in the faction, the next one is Guardians of the Temple.
Are you going to go over every single theme force?
Yeah, most of them we're just going to say, it has Merc Inclusion now, next.
Yeah, we can skip Grimkin. I already covered those.
Yep.
No worries.
Okay, it was an honest question. It's determined how much I'm going to have to drink.
You'll hear me. When we get to Crix, I'm going to complain quite a bit.
This is not Echo Chamber.
Well, actually, I probably won't complain that much. I'll just complain about two specific Warcasters.
Well, we already know which two specific Warcasters are. Can I take a guess?
Yeah, go for it.
The Coven and Denegra 1.
Are you psychic?
Oh, my God. You read my mind. But yeah, fuck those two.
Right. Hey, you know who's been hated for a very long time? Denegra 1.
Yeah, but I'm bringing Coven to the party.
They were already a party themselves. They got their own beach ball.
Oh, I saw one person who modded it to be a beach ball. That was a great mod.
Yep.
So
I'm drinking a lot today. Yeah. Sounds like.
Guardians of the Temple, Flame Guard. No one cares. They suck.
The Flame Guard is still bad, although they got a fantastic. They got one of their mediocre theme benefits changed to a fantastic one, and that is while base to base with another model in their unit, Temple Flame Guard Trooper models gain Tough and Steady, which is really good.
Right up until they get charged by a Dreadrot.
Yeah. I don't think it's enough, but it's good.
I mean, I really do like the fact that they added the Merc Inclusion for everybody.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know it's a lot of confusion out there for that, but
you need to make sure you read it carefully, because some of them say you can take a Merc unit and a Merc solo, and some of them say you can take a Merc unit or Merc solo.
Oh, really? That's different for some of them?
Yep. Some of them are saying you can take a Mercenary unit and Mercenary Battle Engine, but not solos. So just make sure you very carefully read that text and don't make an assumption that it's a solo and a unit.
Yeah, and then two of the Kador themes have character restrictions on Merc Inclusion.
I was quite happy that they got rid of the character exclusion for the Gravediggers, specifically because having Ion and Holt in there helps quite a bit,
because
that list just, it flails against armor, just arms out flailing.
Yep.
So they have character restrictions on the mercenaries?
Some of them do.
Two of the Kador themes do.
The Gravedigger's theme originally, when it was in CID, it was a non-character unit.
Yeah.
Well, meant
there's a few non-character units, but there's like almost no non-character solos.
Yeah.
Because it's just the Boker.
It's like the Boker. That was it.
Yeah.
yeah. So that thankfully got changed.
He's actually pretty awesome himself, though. But, I mean, he's useful in almost anything.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
So, speaking of KOTOR themes, the first one up is Armored Core, which I'm not sure there's a whole lot to talk about because it's the Manowar theme, and Manowars are going to be hitting CID relatively soon.
I actually think it's about 3 or 4 months before those ones hit. I think the first one, I think they're doing Minions, I think they're doing Crixt next.
We're in Blindwater, and the next one is either going to be Legion, Ogryn, Crix or Armored or Manowars.
Yeah.
So it's going to be one of those.
My understanding is that it's going to be Crix then Legion, but I wouldn't be surprised if that's just, you know, the internet chatter.
Yeah. Yeah, we have seen more sketches for the Legion stuff and the Crix stuff, but
yeah.
the Manowar stuff is going to be in CID relatively soon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was going to say more of the demand would probably be for Crix out of the two.
Yeah,
because people want to see a change for Crix, which is really funny, because like 8 months ago, like everyone was saying that Crix was, Crix is useless, it's horrible, and now it's right on the back.
And now they've got the
really
torches and pitchforks out.
Yeah. Amazingly good themes. I mean, Dark Host.
I don't think it's the themes. I really don't.
And well, Ghost Fleet is definitely an issue for a lot of people to deal with. It's not saying it's an unbeatable theme, but it's an issue where you have to tech against it.
It's a very strong theme. I think it is. I think it really is Denegra and Coven.
Yeah, I think it's Denegra and Coven, and especially as Dan likes to say, part of the problem is that they're a perfect pair for each other. And
yes,
yeah. I think that's correct as well.
That makes sense.
Because I mean, I've always like bitched about Crix being really good, but I've never been in the they're overpowered and like breaking the game down. Fact,
no,
I just, it's just annoyingly good.
But
when you look at the stats coming out of WTC, which is admittedly a small sample size, Crix was the most popular faction, and when you removed mirror matches, they won 72% of their games.
Yeah.
Someone who knows that was carried
by Denegra 1 and Coven. I mean, yeah. we have empirical evidence that Crix is overpowered. I don't think you can really deny it anymore.
Trolls won 30%. Go trolls.
Well, here's the other issue with WTC, and I'm not trying to throw any of the results from that under the bus. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you are choosing your matchups in WTC as compared to a normal tournament format.
You have some influence on it.
At the same time with that, though, since you're choosing it, people are theoretically... Because these are these terrifying monsters that have been around for a while and have been a concern for a while. If you look at those lists, a lot of them were lists that were tech to deal with those two things. So, you know, it goes both ways. A lot of those Crix drops could have gone into those tech.
The choosing of matches goes both ways,
yeah.
So I'm
yeah.
not sure.
Well, they could have just been like, okay, we don't want to deal with Ghost Fleet. Jim, sorry, you got to deal with Ghost Fleet.
God bless you, Jim.
That's what I'm saying is
yeah.
It goes really both ways there.
Yeah.
So
I mean, I just like the 72% is just too – it's just – I think it's like an outside of the deviation. Right.
Well, yes, it is.
Like I said, we can look in every single matchup, and then we would also need to know motivations between those pairings.
Yeah.
If it was more of a straight shot Swiss system where everyone's just being paired that way, and then we have seen that happen with Ghost Fleet as well too.
Yeah.
Where Crix has been on the winning bracket, so.
I would argue that even if you're saying that they're getting a lot of these wins from people being thrown under the bus, if that many people are being thrown under the bus to Crix, there's a problem there too.
That's true too.
Non-Euclidean Nick writes, if Crix wasn't the most prevalent army, I'd agree with Andy. But if one convergence player showed up and went 70%, it's not significant. I think that's a big part of it too. The other part of it is that, like, the second most successful faction by one percentage, I think, was Grimkin, but they have the third fewest number of players.
They also have probably the fewest matches ever played against Grimkin
as
well. So,
yeah.
I mean, I'm willing to bet you a lot of the people who took on Grimkin really, you're still kind of in that surprise factor, too. You're like, what?
Every week where I've been practicing Grimkin, I at least have one person go, so what does Ruin do? And it's just like right as they're about to cast that spell, that's like their big spell, I'll be like, and 3, 2, 1, it does nothing. God, I love Ruin.
All right, so we are ready for Jaws of the Wolf, which is one of the two big nerfed themes. It yep. lost enemy models lose AD. It has enemy models lose ambush, which we talked about earlier, which is still a good benefit, but yep. not nearly what it used to be. The other two changes, it did get Merc inclusion, mm-hmm. But I'm not sure that really changes Jaws all that much. Although perhaps somebody can prove me wrong.
They
on
can
that.
Deal with stealth because you can take Reinhold.
Yeah. And the other one is that you can now take Yuri the Axe as one of your free solos instead of one of the Manhunters. So
was it?
Yay.
You
did not use
you could have taken him, but you were cheating.
Previously, the benefit was non-character solos, and the non-character part of that was removed.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, because I always in my Jaws of the Wolf with Karchev, I always had
Yuri.
Oh, wait, yeah. This is a different list.
That's
like Rolar one.
The next one is Legion of Steel, which the only change is, again, Merc Exclusion, although this is one of the ones that gets one of the weird Merc Inclusions that it cannot take non-character mercenary units.
Really?
Yep. Nothing there. And the last one is Winter Guard Command, which, again, has no changes except for it has a weird...
So what is the Merc Inclusion on them?
On Legion? Mm-hmm. Legion of Steel?
Yeah.
Non-character unit?
Yeah, it's solo and non-character unit.
Yeah. And so you can still take character solos in that one.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So you can still take your, if you wanted to, Reinhold.
Yep. Yeah. I'm just curious on, is there one besides the Boker? There's got to be another non-character.
Solo? No. It's all solos. It's yep. just Boker is the only non-character solo.
Wow. Yeah. That's weird.
Yep. So, I mean, that's the issue, though, too, is if they want to go through and try to choose the, it's going to be inclusive what they would have to make the list, not rather than exclusive, because that's going to be a hell of a long list that they're going to have to exclude.
Yeah.
Yep. And then Winter Guard Command is also in the same situation. They just get a weird Merc inclusion. Theirs is non-character solo and unit.
So, hooray!
Which one are we going to next?
Winter Guard Command still had my favorite Theme Force benefit, and it was like 2 weeks where it was this.
Yeah.
But it was... Warjacks gain advanced move, and there was nothing like signifying that. So people would just take 8 Warjacks with no Winter Guard, and just advance move all of them.
It was a Theme Force where you had it was called Winter Guard Command, and it had absolutely no Winter Guard in the army whatsoever.
And you could like slingshot Old Witch all the way up the table on turn one, and like feed in their deployment zone.
Yeah. And then have a gun carriage there to take all the shots on Old Witch.
Yeah, I had that happen to me, and I just straight shot her off the table with Kane. It was awesome.
With Kane 2 you can, not with Kane Kane.
Kane 3 did.
Well, Kane 3 can do it too.
Yep. Oh, Kane.
All right. Wolves of Winter is the next one, and this is basically Doom Reavers and Grey Lords. It gets the full version of Merc Inclusion, which especially in Kador is really good, because that means that you can take Chaozzi Eliminators, which are an absolutely stunningly amazing unit in SR-17.
Yep. Oh, River Raiders are non-character solos. We got one more. Thank you, non-Euclidean Nick. You're doing the Lord's work.
Are they actually a solo? I thought they were a unit.
I think there are solos.
One of those solos that you get multiples for one, for multiple solos for one entry, I think. I don't know if Kador can take them,
though. I'm confused in my War Room.
Oh, man, I can't believe War Room has an error in it.
Well, the thing is, so, to be honest with you, I know there's a lot of people who have had troubles with War Room. I am one of the few that really has not had issues with it, other than what... a lot of people have complained about. Like, there was no character portrait for Old Witch. There was no character portrait for Una 1 for a long time.
Yeah.
My War Room, honestly, runs fine. I've yet to ever have a crash.
Oh, mine crashes.
But I don't use it. I don't use it specifically for games at all. I only use it as a list builder and card. Card lookup.
No, Nick. In Winter Guard Command, you cannot take River Raiders. You can take Gobber Tinkers, though.
Gobber Tinkers. There it is.
Oh yeah, Gobber Tinker is. I guess he is a. I think
he's a minion for some reason.
I think there's. What are they called? They're. What are they called? Goblin River Raiders.
Swamp Gobber River Raiders.
Swamp Gobber.
Yeah.
Are they there?
I don't think they work for Kador.
Are they minions, then?
No, they're mercs. I was listening to Muse on Minis, and when they got released, Josh freaked out.
Yep.
It was highly entertaining.
Okay, so yes. So there are three solos, but two mercenary solos that are non-character. Not talking about the stupid minions.
Not the Tinker. Tinker for some reason.
Yeah. He's a poop.
Yeah. Wolves of Winter gets apparition to one of your Doom Reaver units. It gets the...
That's pretty cool.
I played this list on Saturday, so I have a little first-hand experience on it. I actually played it with a mercenary, too. I played it with Saxon Auric was my merc choice, just so I can... Which I didn't realize that Fenris gives all the Doom Reavers relentless charge, so they get Pathfinder anyway.
Yeah.
But it's only in command, so it helps you spread them out a little bit more if you have another Pathfinder bot.
I mean, this seems to be a fine theme. I mean, Mark II Mad Dogs of War is not coming back because you don't have the points to do it anymore.
No, the Doom Reavers are a little expensive for what they are. At 13 points, I mean, there were normally 6 points of Mark II, 5 points of Mad Dogs, and they're at 13 points. They're a little expensive put in there.
Yeah.
Having the free mercs, having the free solos or command attachment makes it kind of worthwhile to almost have the command attachments on there too.
Yeah. So I think the next one is Black Industries, if I'm looking at your computer correctly.
Yes, you are.
Theme force is amazing.
Black Industries. Oh, that's the new Crix theme force.
Yes, it's the Jack
Carapace
theme force
on all their stupid jacks.
Yes.
It is jack based. It is Carapace on everything, and I think we're going to see a lot of this because it's good.
It's very good. I've seen Dan. I've played against Dan quite a bit using Mort Number 2, who got absolutely slagged when she came out for being terrible, but she is very, very good in this list.
It's a very cool looking bottle too.
Yes,
she is.
Yep.
It looks like hell to build.
She's not too bad.
Right, Andy.
Not too bad. I only pinned like all of her.
Yeah, but you pin everything.
I do pin everything because I have to have everything pinned for Who's the Boss,
and
that is necessary for people playing with your models.
Yeah. But that list is very, very good, and I think it's probably right where it needs to be, though. And then the list for it's really cool, too, because you get a free 7-point light with
every 30 points.
Yeah, it specifies that. And can you do one that's less than 7 points?
Yeah.
Okay. I wasn't sure if it was exactly 7 points or 7 points or less.
7 or less.
Okay. If it was 7 points, then Miles would just name the jacks that you could take with it.
Yeah, yeah.
There's not that many jacks that are specifically 7 points in Crix.
Yeah, but it's pretty cool. Very survivable. And then Deathjack can be taken in it, and he's a beast in that list, especially with Mort Nebra, because Mort Nebra can energize or something 3 inches, then he can energize or something 3 inches, because Energizer says it can only affect a jack once per activation. So you can actually send a jack 6 inches total with that theme, which is pretty cool. And then Deathjack has some +2 armor benefit on him. I want to say it's the one that that even if your systems are out, they still count as working. So it keeps his Skulls of Hate on his shoulders. Mm-hmm. Those ones are pretty cool.
Failsafe, is it?
Yeah, that sounds right. Okay.
All right, moving along. Dark Host. Dark Host got Merc Inclusion. Yay!
Fuck that.
Moving along. Ghost Fleet. Ghost Fleet got Merc Inclusion.
I don't know. I don't know if you can actually cast Locomotion twice with Deathjack. Because target Warjack and the Spellcaster's Battle Group. And that's the Spellcaster would be Deathjack.
That is true. Dan, you've been cheating if you're watching or listening.
I mean, it might be ruled a different way, but the way I'm reading it here is the Spellcaster... Sorry, I'm interrupting
it's fine.
Here. The Spellcaster spends up to 3 focus points to cast Locomotion. Target Warjack and the Spellcaster's Battle Group immediately advances 1 inch for each focus point spent. Warjack can be targeted by Locomotion only once per activation, which makes sense.
Yeah.
Depends on how Deathjack, when it casts its spells, how it's actually
worded for that. Dan, you might not have cheated. I don't know.
It can spend focus points to cast its controller spells. The model can cast upkeep.
I remember us having debates at the shop about that, but I don't remember how it was actually resolved.
Yeah, the way it looks like to me, it looks like they... Because it's saying specifically... It's a spell he can cast, but I don't think he can actually cast it because it's target model in that spellcaster's battle group. Which would be...
This is one of those times where it'd be great if Travis was listening or watching right now.
Yeah.
Travis, are you there, please?
I don't think Travis.
All right, next one is Ghost Fleet. Ghost Fleet changed. Ghost Fleet got Merc Inclusion. Ghost Fleet got better. I think Jake has something to say about this.
Man, fuck that. This is the theme force is fine by itself, but it's like when you can bring back infinite dudes with decent-ish guns that constantly and consistently can get a +5 armor swing on them on a knockdown model, that's just too good of a gun to come back like consistently and constantly. Grumble, grumble.
All right. Moving along. Infernal Machines. Didn't this one have a slight change to it?
Not that I recall,
just Merc Inclusion.
Yeah.
All right.
If you know otherwise, send us a message.
Well, I mean...
Or don't. Whatever.
Or just look it up and say that we were wrong, because that's probably how it works.
Yeah, for real.
Scourge of the Broken Coast is next. This is one of the new themes. This is the Satixis theme. It has Merc Inclusion. It gives Pathfinder to Satixis, which is good.
Yep.
And gives Ambush to a Blood Witch unit.
Which is bad if you're playing into Jaws of the Wolf.
But the thing is, though, if you're playing of Jaws of the Wolf, I mean, it's... I don't know. I play a lot of heavies in Jaws of the Wolf.
If you're playing this into Jaws of the Wolf, you're probably going to win anyway because you might have a caster with Backlash and might be able to just kill the caster you have by poking them to death with Backlash and Zixis who have Backlash natively.
Well, I mean, you don't need Blood Witches for Backlash.
Yeah.
Blood Witches don't really do much against Jacks because they're not living.
Yeah. You don't need to ambush. You just walk up and keep poking their jacks until their caster falls over dead.
Yeah. 32 times.
Yep.
Or 34 times for friendship.
Next to Slaughter for Fleet Raiders, which about half of the stuff listed in the army composition isn't out yet, so it's probably not worth saying a whole lot about.
Play it, though, and see how it goes with what you have.
Sure.
Actually, I don't think you can build a legal list.
No, I think Dan had mentioned that you're like 6 points short or something like that.
Yeah.
By trying to build an actual list.
Yeah.
I mean, you could add blood gorgers in there. I think they're only FA 2 or 1.
Yeah. I mean, you can fill it out with jacks, so you can build a legal list. Like, you can fill out with jacks, but it doesn't, like, it's a list that makes no sense. It's like 50% jack. Sense.
All right, I think that'll get us into Rhett. Yes, Defenders of Ios. Defenders of Ios is one of my favorite themes, and my saltiness for this whole thing is that I thought prior to this that Defenders of Ios was the best theme that Rhett had, and I was kind of annoyed because it was difficult for me to find a good pairing to it that wasn't Defenders of Ios. And now the big change here is that Defenders of Ios got a lot better, and we still don't really have a good alternative to it.
Yeah,
I still really like...
There are a few more alternate builds. There are a couple of Forges builds that are opened up now, and Assyria Shadows gets some play, and Assyria Shadows is fine. I still think Defenders is better, and Defenders just got Merc Inclusion, which is absolutely amazing for Rhett. Because one of those solos you can take for Merc Inclusion is Iris One, who is a 7-point solo, and she has Partisan Retribution, so you can take her as a freebie in the theme.
Yep.
So a typical Defenders build just went from playing 15 points up to playing 19 points up.
I would totally,
16 points up to 19 points.
I would give up a free solo to take Iris One in Heavy Metal with Kane.
I think everyone would.
Everyone would love Iris
just
One.
About everyone.
That'd be great.
Also, Kalissa is my primary Rhett caster, and I love being able to play her in theme and having a reliable source of disruption so I can stationary and disrupt Jax. And speaking of sources of disruption, they also added House Vire Electromancers, which have super disruption. And,
kind of.
Reducing your focus limit to zero is better than disruption.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is there... Does that affect being able to give more than three focus through non, like, standard means, just out of curiosity?
There are some ways around it. Like, it's Nemo 2 that...
Yeah, his feet. I was wondering if it limited the amount of focus they could have.
It depends on how it says. If it's gains or allocates. Allocates can only ever go up to three. Gains can potentially
that
go over.
That isn't the case anymore. You can... They changed it. I don't remember the exact ruling on it, but like the gains allocate thing.
Basically,
like,
with one unit of Electromancers, you can lower a Jack's focus limit by three.
If it's immune to disruption, though, it's immune
if it is
to
not
that.
Yes, okay. It is not immune to disruption.
So it doesn't work on Colossals.
It does not work on Colossals. And which Nemo is it that his Jacks can have four focus? Is that Nemo 1?
Nemo 1, yeah.
Yeah. So Nemo 1 can still, even if you put the three on it, he can still allocate one focus to it.
Two units of Electromancers
can't stop it, yes.
Yeah, shut Nemo, it down.
Yeah, yep. You have to Nemo 1 tech.
Yep, for all those Nemo 1 players out there, we just ruined your day.
Yep. It also adds all of the NIS units to this, NIS models and units, which may or may not matter.
That was kind of a bummer, because I was really hoping they were going to make a NIS theme, and that meant they were going to release NIS models in the future.
I would like to see a place for Risavast Defenders, because I think they have a really cool model, but they are kind of partway between Halberdiers and Sentinels, and not as good as either.
Yeah.
I mean, it is one thing that... They added all of these on here, so everything that's currently out right now has a playable theme force. That's not to say that they won't add in a theme force later on.
Yeah.
Because it's not like they're done with theme forces. They're like, all right, they're all done. We're good.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they're going to do more things.
I was really hoping for a Morrow theme force, just because I, just from a fluff point of view, I think it's pretty cool. And I'm Catholic, so they're Catholic, and it's kind of the same thing. But they don't have one, and Connie B will forever sit on my shelf.
That is my favorite. Somebody, I think it was Malorian, that posted the meme about Connie. They're like,
nobody
talks to me anymore. But my favorite one is somebody posted a just an anime GIF underneath there of Gollum just saying, "No one likes you.
No one likes you."
Connie B sucks.
But maybe the Nis Priest might be taken once or twice in Defenders, but I think that's probably the only one.
Yeah, I think when you have a lot of...
Priest?
Yeah.
Menoth is Catholic before 1962.
No, Menoth is Zoroastrian. They are desert-dwelling fire fanatics. That's Zoroastrianism.
Isn't Menoth Catholic? Marty Mart.
What is Marty Mart?
Marty Mart for life.
I don't know what you're talking about. I'm going to drink some more.
Yay!
Is that a quarter of that bottle already gone?
We believe in you.
Defenders got significantly better. Andy is disturbing me.
Andy is peeing. I don't think it's being picked up by the mic, Andy. Okay. What's the next thing?
Depending on the microphones, this may or may not be an uncomfortable silence. Okay. Okay. So anyway, Defenders of Ios was good. Defenders of Ios got better. Ret players should generally be happy. We will still find ways to get salty about it.
The Facebook forums are just...
Oh my God, the Facebook forums are amazingly salty. It is impressive the amount of salt.
So speaking of saltiness, I got really disappointed the other day when I tried to, like, basically create a salt mine on the Trollblood forums and everyone was happy.
Wait, you're saying troll players are happy?
Yeah, it was a bummer because I'm like...
How did this happen?
I think I even texted you about this, where I was just like... on the Trollblood forum, like, what do you guys think of Cole Gruma, a caster I love? I love her.
I think she's going to be
amazing. And everyone's just like, oh, I'm super excited. I'm so happy for her. You know, I think it's, you know, I'm not sold yet because they're still troll players, so they can't be positive. But, like, I'm really, you know, I feel really encouraging, very happy about this. I'm optimistic. And I was like, I was so hoping for one person to just be like, trash, she's terrible. Yeah, but no one did. Everyone was just, like, pretty happy about it. So a couple
trolls are pretty content of where.
A couple
where
days later,
at.
I did the exact same thing with bears. Same exact response. Although one person did do what I was hoping they would do. Like, they're terrible. It's hard to put fury on them with Madrak too. Like, they don't need fury. They're fine.
They've been living Mark III for a while now. So, I mean, trolls, they've basically...
They've accepted their place at the bottom of the rung.
They've accepted their fate, pretty much.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I consider myself a troll player. I would never take them to a tournament I wanted to do well at.
Never take trolls?
Yeah.
Okay.
I take Grimkin and Signar first.
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah.
That may change.
With Cole Grima, it might change and my deck won't change. Like, I'm pretty happy with this, but we'll see how it goes.
I mean, what's wrong with, like, Doomy 3 in Mark 3?
Just not my playstyle, to be honest.
Okay. All right. Makes sense.
Oh, sorry. Doomy 3, not Magic 3. Never mind.
Yeah, Doomy 3 is...
Doomy 3 is good.
He's annoyingly...
Yeah, he's quite good. But, like, he's just not...
Not your playstyle.
Just
makes
not
sense.
My playstyle.
Yeah.
You like the fast action, I want to be done in 20 minutes and take a shit type thing.
I'm trying to get past that, but yeah,
that was
really
the WITC for Jake.
Yeah, it was great. I think I played like 20 minutes of War Machine.
So back when I used to play, I used to play Lilith too.
I had under 5 minutes on my clock on 3 out of 4 games at the WITC.
Oh my god, you were killing me, dude, because like I finished, I top of 2 in 2 games, but I think I had like... 6 total minutes played or something. So I just had to, like, walk around. No one was done with their game. I just had to, like, it was awful.
For a while there in the middle of Mark II, that was basically my life. Because I played Lilith 2 back then. And yeah. Lilith 2 was the absolute be-all, end-all of assassination casters.
I never played against her in Mark II. Actually, I think I might have once. But I just remember people being like, there's nothing you can do. She'll just shoot you to death. Yeah. There's nowhere to hide.
You take 2 Ravagors with her, and then take a nice Seraph with her.
Yeah,
able to bump her up, pop your feet, shoot 3 POW 15 or 4 POW 15s into you.
Yeah.
With then Lilith shots going into you.
Yeah,
it's not good.
It's weird too because like I played War Machine for like a year before I moved to Madison, but like I got to Madison, I'm like, oh no, I've just been kind of moving stuff around on a table and rolling dice, so.
That was also the time I killed off. It was actually kind of easy. I killed Ashlyn under her feet turn with Lilith 2.
Nice, from outside of her control area.
No, her control area is 14.
Okay,
so the Ravagors could get to her, or they could shoot to her. But anyway, I would miss because her defense base is 17. She was in cover as well.
Yeah,
and I still killed her.
Just light her on fire.
Well, just fire and AoEs, and Ashlyn doesn't do well against AoEs. Even blast damage hurts Ashlyn bad.
There was one game at the WITC where there was a cloud in the middle, so Kane was safe to run forward, like all the way forward. So I just ran basically 8 Chargers, Kane, Ace, and a Hunter, like all the way up the board, like as far as I could get them. So my opponent goes, he starts moving stuff up, and then he activates his caster and like runs him, and then looks at me and goes, "So what does Kane 3 do?" I was just like, oh god. And I'm like, I tell him like, oh, I'm just, dude, you're already dead. Like you've already lost this one, man. So he like tries to keep, like he moves Strakov back and like tries to put up, he puts occultation on him, and it was the last round, so I just let him basically restart his turn, and man, there's just nothing you can do to keep that caster alive against Kane. It was awful.
Well, if you're trying to use Strakov's feet, there's no way.
Yeah.
I mean, his feet is... If his feet just basically gave +4 to charge for friendly models in his control area,
yeah,
it would be a much better feat. It would make more sense to me, too, rather than, hey, charge the thing that's already here in front of me that's 12 inches away.
Yeah.
Yep.
It would be a better change for him. So hopefully when Kador CID goes up, that he might get like a little Cray touch to him.
Yeah, I'm hoping he does. Because he is like a cool caster and a cool kind of...
His character check's amazing. I love Torch.
But he's like a cool kind of... Fluff-wise, I think he's kind of a cool idea and theme. And then I like Strakov 2 quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Why aren't you guys... Why isn't Kador just playing Strakov 2 with a Conquest or something?
Mine are being painted right now, so that's why you don't see him in my list.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So back to Defenders. I'm not done with Defenders yet.
I've
been playing Defenders for 3 months. It's an awesome theme. It got a lot better.
What's next? Just go to the next theme.
This is also general Rhett stuff. One of the other, there were 2 non-theme changes in this drop. One of those is that Lanissa Rissell picked up Partisan Retribution. You can also take her in all of the Rhett themes, and she qualifies to be a free solo in all of them as well. This may actually be one of the few situations where you might take something over Eris as your Merc solo, because take Ilara 2's insane threat range and add 2 inches to it. Seems good.
It's decent.
Yep. Not sure there are any of the mercenary units that Defenders really wants, but let's go to Forges of War.
I can, you know, I have a soft spot in my heart for Nyss Hunters.
Well, let's go to Forges of War.
Yeah.
Who now you can take Nyss Hunters in Forges of War.
Bubat?
Yeah, so now you might actually play Vyros 1 in Forges of War instead of Defenders the time.
You can also take Ayana and Holt.
Yes.
And just be sad.
Yes.
I've taken Vyros in Forges. The only problem with Forges and Vyros is the fact that you want to take the 2 Jack Marshals in there, and they don't benefit from Vyros.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's still a solid list.
It got a lot better since to power Vyros 1's feet in Forges, you can now use Nyss Hunters instead of Battle Mages.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So, yeah, and that theme got the normal... The only change to Forges of War was the Merc inclusion, but in addition to allowing... I mean, you can still take Lanissa if you want, you can still take Eris, and you can take Nyss Hunters to power Vyros 1's feet.
Yeah.
That's probably the biggest change for Forges. I mean, there are going to be other casters that are going to like Nyss Hunters and Forges of War just because they're a legitimate Circle Zone holder.
Yeah, and you can harm things with Ayana and Holt.
Yep.
But you can't actually benefit from it.
Yep.
They do not have Partisan yet.
But, like, I mean, I guess you can harm something, and then Holt's got 2 POW 14s.
Yeah. Woo! No, I mean, it's still legitimate. I mean, it's a nice thing for them.
Yep. All right. Next is Legions of Dawn, which is the salt mine of the Retribution Forum at the moment.
Is that deep?
Is that the one where they just basically threw everything into a bucket?
No, that was Defenders. Defenders is the one that everything is in the bucket now. I mean, that was kind of how it was before. It's even more so now. Legions is the all of the Dawnguard stuff plus Njar model units.
What?
Njar.
Njar.
What's Njar?
Njar.
N-Y-R.
Njar.
Oh, Njar?
Is that Njar? If you say that's how it's pronounced, I will still say Njar.
Njar.
I think it's
Njar.
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 How do you say wish nailer?
You know, the first time I saw that model's name show up in text, I thought it was a joke.
I saw that one. I'm like, oh, that's the most elfy goddamn day that's ever.
Yeah, this is a parody of generic fantasy elf naming. This can't be real. Oh no, it's real.
Do you know? I do know how it's pronounced because I've heard Privateer say it, and it struck me as weird, and it's always been stuck in
my
mind.
What is it?
Wishnalir.
Wishnalir?
Wishnalir.
Isn't that Wishnailer?
Nope.
You can't say you wishnailed it?
Nope.
Dang!
Wishnailed it.
Speaking of Wishnailer, bring out Zerkova 2. She's got game.
Yep.
What?
Terrible, terrible game.
Why are we back on Kator?
No.
Because I'm going to play Zerkova 2 sometime and go like 0 for 4, but be done in 5 minutes. It's going to be great.
Oh, come on. The Zerkova 2 list is going to take longer to move than Kane 3, this isn't a Jake list, because you might actually spend 30 minutes playing a game.
Yeah, that sounds like hell. It's never happening.
What are you doing with the Zerkova 2? Is it all your infantry based?
Oh, yeah. No, it's hilarious.
Why you say it like the fat guy from the Patton Oswalt skit?
So
I would like all the ham. I would like all the war machines.
How long have you known Jake?
So you basically kill their caster with 10 POW 14s. That's the game plan. And then you like...
What's the POW 14s?
Sprays. From Grey Lord Outriders.
Yeah.
Because you run
the... POW 12s, but then you Ion and Holt with it first. Because Ion and Holt have Valachev on it. It's terrible.
Well, you
do not have a punchable face, good sir.
You do.
Yeah, man, kind of.
We should have somebody should get a punching bag. I should put it in the back of the podcast. So whenever somebody gets angry, they can go punch the punching bag that has your face on it.
Please don't do that.
Again, it's not going to physically have your face. What do you think? It's like a voodoo thing that's going to hit you?
Well, it's kind of like it's like an imagery thing. I don't know, man. Anyways, okay. So like, was there coming to you? Basically, you do that, and then you fire up 4 dice. Drop a 5 dice, drop the lowest Horfrost. into their caster. You hope you crit stationary them, mm-hmm. which I think has like a 80-ish percent chance. I asked you to do the math on that once.
I forget what it was. But
it was quite high. It was
pretty good.
Don't tell me the odds.
So there, it's good odds, Andy.
Don't tell me them.
Okay. But you do that, and then you like spray them, and then like a conquest can just fire like a flame shot like as like the final
that,
blow.
That is not the conquest that can do that.
Well, oh, I mean, sorry. Victor.
I mean, the trick there is that you run all of the outriders up and then use Zerkovatu's feat so they all get a free spell cast after you've debuffed their cast.
And someone's going to think, hey, do you know what stops that? Anyone's feat? It doesn't. Her feat specifies that it doesn't use star action, because even when I try testing it, someone's like, Denny1's feat stops it. It does not. Kills Denny1's dead. Kills him dead.
She's still stealthy.
Yeah, my sprays, don't care. Don't care. Sprays don't care. At all.
All right, I think Rocky Eagle has an idea for a Kickstarter now.
Yes.
Get Andy drunk.
Well, I mean, there's that.
We can kickstart that, too. But that's not going to take much.
I have some money left over from the Patreon that we can actually start putting that into the...
A punching bag with my face
to getting Andy drunk?
Well, that works here. This is what the leftover Patreon did. No, it's, no, that's my own. Oh. No, we can get a Jake punching bag.
Oh, man, I could work out some serious self-esteem issues.
We could do it to invoke some weird violence. We could make it into a T-shirt that just says, punch Jake, and it's like in the stomach of the T-shirt, so everyone's just punching each other in the stomach.
Yeah, but someone's going to take that as permission to punch me.
No.
Yes.
Only the ones that have the T-shirt on with the crosshairs.
This is getting really weird.
Yeah, this is getting towards encouraging violence against me, Andy. I'd appreciate it if you stopped.
No, just the T-shirt that has your face on it.
Well, I mean, okay.
I mean, if you were wearing your own T-shirt with it, then I would encourage that violence.
Okay, moving on.
Doesn't everybody need a T-shirt with their own face on it?
Yeah. Well, Jeremy did.
Yeah. All right. So, Legions of Dawn, Retribution Salt Mine.
Oh my God, we're still on Lethal.
Yes, we're on.
We're just moving on.
Okay.
What about the Legions of Dawn?
So, what is the Legions of Dawn? It has the Dawn Guard stuff. It has a benefit that isn't terribly good with existing models because
that is a free shirt. I love free shirts. Yeah.
So the theme benefit is that Marshal Jacks gain flank Dawn Guard, which mm-hmm. sounds pretty good until you realize that, I mean, I was like, oh, this is really cool. And then I looked at it and said, oh, you can't take the Lice Healer in the army composition, which is how you protect your Get Jacks from knockdown and stationary, because mm-hmm. Marshal Jacks that are not Hydras are screwed if they're knocked down or made stationary because Correct. They have no way to shake that.
Because,
So I was looking at this like, oh, this is cool because we've got Lice Healers, but they're not in the list. Okay, so I'm probably not going to play this until Nyar comes out.
Nyar.
And so that's it. Otherwise, it's kind of generic. Merc inclusions, 20 points of Dawn Guards get you a command attachment or solo, and plus 2 inches deployment zone. So, I mean, this is on the low end of playable as it is. I don't think it's worth a ton of salt. And I managed to come up with a couple of Alara 2 builds that I think might work with it, because you can marshal a Hydra and get work out of it. But still, I don't think this is particularly great, and especially when defenders just got better, it is a little disappointing, but meh. Ret overall came out well because defenders got better.
We might have to make Hordes a separate podcast.
Okay.
I mean, because we're an hour in already.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. On almost all the War Machine.
Oh, it's just War Machine crap. But no one cares about Ret. Skip the next Ret.
All right. Shadows didn't change other than Merc Inclusion.
No one cares about Retribution.
All right. Mercs.
Mercenaries got an amazing one.
Hammer Strike.
No, fuck Hammer Strike.
Yeah, were your models in this army game tough?
Yeah, Hammer Moving Strike on. Moved on with their lives.
Irregulars.
Moving on with their lives.
Wait. Irregulars is the good one.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is.
No, it's not.
No. Operating Theater.
Operating Theater.
Operating Theater got fucking amazing.
Also awesome is...
validated your purchases from Mark II. actually did, because it basically made Mobius, Bullet Thralls, Machine Race, and Pistol Race available in your list now as friendly mercenaries.
Also, the Italian Charter Theme Force, which we'd already known about, got officially released. That one's also really good. And like most of War Machine players, I randomly own all the pirates for some reason. I don't know why.
I should tell Jim about Italian Charter.
Solos gain dodge.
Yes.
Although, honestly, most of the Italian charter does not allow most of the good solos. Not the good solos, the high def solos. Since I think Hawk is def 14, and that's the only one over 12.
That doesn't make any sense.
What?
That Hawk is not allowed in Italian charter.
No, Hawk is the only one that's def over 12 or over 13. Because I talked about that with Josh and Keith before. And it's like, oh, this sounds really good. Wait a second. There aren't a lot of high def models in there. But it's interesting at least.
Well, I mean, you have people who can roll really bad, too. I mean, that just happens.
Yeah. Yep. Operating Theater got new Crick stuff. Lely's Resistance is basically how it was on CID.
The new Crick stuff also for Italian Charter, or not for Italian Charter, for Operating Theater does count towards free models as well.
Lely's Resistance, you still get a drop pod. It's fantastic.
Huzzah.
All right, and Kingmakers is still boring. And the Irregulars lets you take everything and still get freebies.
Yep. Right. Okay.
And that's War Machine.
War Machine, yay. Let's talk about trolls really quick. Okay. Because the troll stuff actually is, like, pretty important.
I mean, technically we only have six more to go, but, I mean, that's...
Oh, Convergence got stuff. Who gives a shit?
Did Convergence actually get another theme force?
Yeah, Clockwork Legion.
Oh, that's the one with all the angels?
Yeah.
Okay.
I honestly do not know a whole lot about enough about Convergence to say too much about it.
If Lost Passac was podcasting, they would actually talk about it. I'm not sure when they're podcasting next. Maybe next week.
Yeah. But so the big changes for Trolls is that with the changes to Band of Heroes, I don't think that in all cases Storm of the North is just better than it. Some of the changes for more free points and some of the changes to being able to take the Rune Bearer, like, really help that list get more utility, more free stuff, more, you know, just options is what it really needed. Because, honestly, unless you were taking, like, a hardcore Ghost Fleet counter list, there wasn't really a reason to take... there wasn't really a reason to take Band of Heroes when Storm of the North is just... better with better options that are faster or harder hitting infantry options.
Yeah, and I mean, it bears repeating that the Trollkin Rune Bearer got added, and with the CID changes for the Rune Bearer, which, as far as I know, are most likely to go live, that the Rune Bearer is getting Arcane Repeater, which fixes one of the big problems that most Trollcasters have, because Trollcasters tend to be pretty low on Fury, and just getting that extra +2, that +2 control range means a lot.
The only. Fury 5 caster that's kind of sad for is Borka 1, because the Keg Bearer is an attachment already and you can't get a second one, so he stays at 10 inches, but otherwise there really isn't a reason why you don't take a Rune Bearer with every Warlock.
I mean, there's still the outside chance that change might get made when the CID drops.
Yeah.
Any other troll stuff you wanted to talk about?
We already went over the changes to Pod. Oh, getting Mulg in Power of Dunia is pretty cool too, especially new Mulg. And just being able to take him in those additional themes with those additional caches is really cool. Having Mulg be able to yo-yo is just sweet.
And Serenity on the Dunian Knot.
Yes, that is really good too. Trolls probably have the worst Fury management options in the game right now. Yeah, it's close. I mean, Grim can have Serenity on everything. Yeah. Whelps are okay. But usually when they're spawning Whelps, I'm killing something. So I'll take that trade.
Storm of the North is official, although it's missing a lot of stuff up until, is it November or December?
One of the really big things that has been released for Trolls is the Brawler, which isn't coming out till December, having a speed 5, 2-inch melee range, just beater heavy, that's got no frills, is fantastic.
So I am not sure if any of, other than the new Circle themes, if there are any significant changes other than Merc Inclusion. Circle doesn't get as much from Merc Inclusion.
Well, there's the big thing with the Circle theme, the All War Beast theme, that basically with Tanith basically is not really usable, but she doesn't benefit from that theme.
Yeah.
Because her ability being able to have Warbeast cast Animuses for one cheaper.
Yeah, her feet doesn't. Her feet does not interact with the theme benefit at all.
Correct. Yeah, which is sad.
Yeah.
Which is sad, but I mean that's fine. I mean that's
I don't know. I am also looking at, I mean, Call of the Wild is a new circle theme that it's live beasts and the it's plus one to starting roll and minus one cost to animi cast by circle war beasts. I am looking at doing something with Kaya 3 with that. I mean, I think there are interesting builds with that and do stuff that looks a lot more like Mark II circle because I miss Mark II circle.
Yeah. Arctic Circle points out that structures got added to Bones, yeah. And we haven't seen any structures get announced for Circle, but that does kind of create an interesting thing to go into the future, just what their structures will be.
Yep. The other Circle theme, Secret Masters, is new, but it was already spoiled, and I don't think there are any changes from what it was before. Still, Sack Pawn has Merc Inclusions, gives Black Clad Warriors Sack Pawn Minion, which is interesting.
I sold a unit of Shamblers to John the day before that came out, oh. And I gave him like 25% retail for that. And sometimes the market bites back, man.
Yep. Wild Hunt just got Merc Inclusion.
Great video game.
Then we get to the Scorn, where I think Scorn actually had the most additions and changes.
We can just skip Scorn.
Okay.
No one cares about them. Do you play Scorn, Andy?
No.
If they're just going to complain about how no one cares about them, I'm just going to treat them that way.
No one cares about them, including this podcast.
And then
last person to play the podcast, play Scorn on this podcast, quit the podcast. So.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Brian.
Yep.
Yeah.
No need to name names. Let them guess.
Well, we already knew.
It's Brian. We all know.
We already knew what Disciples of Agony was doing, which is actually pretty awesome. It's very limited on the the warlocks you can take, but it lets you take all of the minion war beasts,
including the Dracodile.
Including the Dracodile, including the Blind Walker, which just went to 10 points for an arm 20 war beast.
Yeah, it's okay.
So yeah, Disciples is going to be. I mean, Disciples. I think it seems to be good now. I think it's going to get a lot better once the Blindwater CID goes live because yeah. All of those changes impact this, especially with getting the Dracodile, which is a speed 5 colossal with a spray 10 blind gun.
Yep,
gargantuan. That seems good. Gargantuan, gargossal, whatever.
When this got announced, I was kind of hoping that was going to mean they were going to make a Merknar theme force for Signar that had a lot of those old, like, everything's a mercenary options that they had in Mark II for Signar.
What? There was no theme force that had that in Mark II.
Yeah, but, like, in Mark II, when I played Signar, I would literally have Thorn, a Centurion, and a Squire, plus my caster, that is the only Signar models in the theme.
List. That's just you build a Signar list, then you just populate it with mercs.
Yeah, but like that was a pretty common thing to do in Mark II. I was hoping they'd make a theme force that would let that playstyle return.
You could still do that. So you just play out a theme.
Yeah, but I don't want to lose. I don't want to play 16 points down, Andy.
Yeah.
It's not all 16 points all the time.
Arctic Circle says
maybe
blind,
about 10 to 12.
Arctic Circle says Blindwater under CID, Jagga Jagga is dumb. I'm not sure that. That's definitely the case. Some of the Scorn casters like Naresh being able to give 10 blind walkers +3/+3 seems to be pretty good too. The Scorn casters may be able to do more ridiculous things than even Jagga can.
I mean, if you really feel it's dumb or if you have, you give feedback on it. That's what the CID is for right now. I mean, all the rules in the CID are not as if the model is coming out now. It's not set in stone rules. These are all just, hey, test this out. Give us our feedback.
And not only that, but like actually play it. Please stop. Like saying in the dojo, like it's unstoppable. Well, yeah, but as it turns out, like I have this thing that's +7/+7, but it's got a 7-inch threat. So who cares, right? Like,
that goes with what I was talking about before when I was playing. And this happens a lot in games where you look across the table and you're like, I don't know how I'm going to face this. Those things, everything over there just looks overpowered. It looks overpowered. I don't know how to face this. And then you actually face it. You deal with it. And then you make your opponent feel bad because you complained during the entire first round that you didn't know what to do against them.
Yeah. But
Just play it. Yeah. Just play the fucking game.
I will say that I think it's unfortunate for the for Minions players that Disciples of Agony adds a completely separate set of interactions that the Gator War Beasts have to be balanced around. And since Scorn is the quote unquote full faction, and Blindwater is not, that it seems likely that Blindwater may lose some capabilities because Scorn is too powerful.
Not so much. They could actually make it so certain War Beasts can only be taken by a Gator Warcaster.
That would just be
a small rule added onto them.
Yeah, but yeah. It's still, I mean, that was the Blind Walker outside of Jaga Jaga's feet. The Blind Walker at 10 seems to be good with Gator Men, but Scorn might be able to turn this up too far.
They can also change some of those anime around so that instead of specifying friendly faction War Beast or whatever, it's Pharaoh War Beast. Like, just change the name of the thing, but keep it the same, and that stops you from really, like, being able to, like, cross swing all these anime that were supposed to be, you know, separate. So.
I do think it's cool though. I like the cross faction ability there too. Like, if you want to play a scoring caster and you want to have, like, you know, you want to use a wrestler or a blind walker.
I love the design of. I mean, I think it fits in with Scorn in so many ways. I love the design of Disciples of Agony. It's just that it might end up sucking for the actual Gatorman player, because now their beasts have to also be balanced for Gatorman lists and for Scorn lists where they have Primal available and Pangiver beast handlers.
Sure. Yeah.
So there are possible issues there, but at the same time, Disciples of Agony has a really limited Warcaster list, so maybe it'll work out.
Yeah.
How many casters are in Disciples of Agony then?
Four?
All three Morgs, Naresh, and Zakar.
Five. So, yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, that's about the same as
Zakar doesn't count.
I played against Zakar on Wednesday.
He's neat. He sucks.
He's mat six.
I mean,
how did that happen? Like, I was looking at the model. I'm like, oh, that's mat 7, 2-inch reach. He's probably got auto sprint. Like, oh, this. He might actually be kind of hard to deal with. And, like, Matt 6, we ran up to one of my heavies and, like, missed. I'm like, that's not good for you. miss, hit, mortality, ruined. So it's just kind of like, oh, you're just in the wind, man. And then later that day, I ended up playing against
his feet's him again. Cool,
his feet's really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's about it. The really only really solid good thing about it.
Yeah. I mean, he's got mortality, hard cast mortality.
Fury 5 is annoying.
I think
is he Fury 5?
He's Fury 6.
Yeah.
Yeah, still.
But then Morg 1 and Disciples of Agony looks really good, so does Naresh.
That being said, I think one of the big things about a lot of these theme forces being able to include minion models is I think you're going to see an uptick in the number of min units of...
Bogtrogs?
No. Min units of Bone Grinders. Yeah. As just like a nifty support piece for a warcaster, or sorry, a warlock, because especially with some troll casters being just like 2 more inches of spell distance is huge.
Yep.
All right.
Exalted is the next one. We've known about this for a while. Nothing much to say there.
That's all the immortal team force, isn't it?
Yeah. Again, that's gonna be one of the ones that like a couple more immortal models will probably have to be released before it's.
I was working fine in Mark II.
Yeah.
That list was annoyingly difficult to break through in Mark II.
Aren't they their FA2 for the units?
They were still FA2 for the units, but they were just solid in Mark II.
Yeah.
That's basically what they were. Yeah. Solid as a rock.
Yeah.
Won't that just remind people about how we built houses in Iraq?
No.
Yes. Watch Arrested Development.
All right, Imperial Warhost.
More pop culture tangents.
Imperial Warhost, this is the Scorn Beast Brick. The notable thing here is that the freebies you get are Agonizers or Basklik Preyas. So instead of getting free support solos, you get free War Beast support.
Yeah.
Also, the benefit for this is Scorn Warbeasts gain hyper-aggressive. And hyper-aggressive is one of those things that when I played Gatorix when he had hyper-aggressive, it was kind of one of those things that's like, yeah, I can have this up, and since I've got one model with it, my opponent just isn't going to shoot him, so it doesn't matter. However, it's entirely different when your entire Beast Brick has hyper-aggressive.
That's what Texas has.
Yeah.
Basically, for Operating Theater, all of them have hyper-aggressive. Yep. It does make people think twice. That first time they pop hyper-aggressive and you're able to move that guy to, like, in a sense, in a threatening location, but yep. in a safe location, it definitely changes your opponent's strategy.
You do have to be careful about it because I did play someone earlier this month, or not this month, earlier in September, who hyper-aggressive three heavies right into the range of some, like, fully, like, loaded up skin and bones.
Mm-hmm.
So they just got eaten.
Well, yeah.
Don't do that.
You don't have to move your full distance towards the enemy model.
But for real, though, just don't do anything stupid.
Yeah, this also kind of goes along with the Crix Warjack theme that Privateer Press has decided that you're not supposed to shoot war beasts off the table as a general rule.
The Carapace, yeah.
Yeah, between. So, we have two of the new themes that both have big anti-shooting benefits.
I mean, with the Crix one, though, I mean, it really doesn't add incredible amounts of armor to him. I mean, Carapace is really awesome. Plus four armor is great against shooting. But we are talking about Crix Jacks, which are generally armor 17, 18 around the board. So it's not maybe a 19 in there, but it's generally not the world's end on.
It's
cool.
A Caterer Jack with Carapace would be a problem. A Crix Jack with Carapace is an annoyance.
Caterer Jack with Carapace is just called a destroyer.
Yeah.
Not a destroyer, but a
Clam Jack.
Decimator? No, Decimator is one of them.
Yeah.
What's the other one? It's another D.
Demolisher.
Is it Decimator Demolisher?
Yeah, I think
okay.
so.
But yeah.
Yeah. Because, like, I do remember playing against a Caterer Brick, a Crix Jack Brick with Kane, and I didn't even need to pop my feet to, like, just have Chargers just, like, straight, just pop them right off the table, no problem.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's impressive against other things, like ret shooting. Some of the basic ret shooting will have troubles breaking their armor.
Yeah.
I mean, even the Mage Hunters will have issues with breaking Crix Jack armor.
Yeah. Carapace, though, I mean, that pushes them right out of the curve for Chargers, which is a little sad.
Yep.
Oh, it does?
Right. Yeah. Because they go from Dice Off 5 to Dice Off 9, which means I'm averaging 1.2 damage or whatever it is per shot.
It's also a good thing, though, too, that Crix Jacks also don't have that much health either.
Yeah. So back in the good old days when I could, like, do, like, 7 damage per shot with a Charger. Back...
Fuck you and your
3 weeks ago.
Yeah, they are also high defense for generally most of the Crix Jacks, too. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Yep.
High defense for Jacks, it is. And I mean,
Def 13 is... That's right on...
On par with some troopers.
Yeah. And that's kind of out of the curve for a lot of infantry. All of a sudden, you need sevens to hit.
Mm-hmm.
That's a problem.
Yep. All right. Next one is probably the one Scorn is most interested in, which is Masters of War. Notably, this is where the kitty cats go.
Meow.
Thank you, Jake.
Yep.
Is that a new theme, or is that what it's always been out there?
That's a new thing that just this was one of the ones that was not pre-spoiled, and it just dropped Friday.
Okay.
And so yes, this is non-character war beasts without ranged weapons in Scorn. That doesn't limit you a whole lot, except both of the gargantuans have ranged weapons, so they're out. Tiberian is baseline, which is awesome. It allows Basilisk Kreias because they don't force you to go without that level of support, and it allows all Cataphracts and all Praetorians, in addition to Paingiver Beast Handlers, Tyrant Commanders, Extolers, and Willbreakers. The Praetorians is the interesting one because the Praetorian Ferox are really damn good. And so you can now play Makeda Cats and have Tiberian in the list and be in theme.
Yep, not looking forward to that nonsense. Nope.
And the theme benefit is models disabled by a melee attack made by a Scorn warrior cannot make a tough roll, and it RFPs.
Woo!
Woo, indeed.
Okay. So this is probably, I think, the most interesting one in Scorn because...
still Scorn, so it's not really that interesting.
Also, you can take TICOMs as free theme benefits. So this seems to be a pretty strong theme and probably will change the way the Scorn shows up. And if one of the recent... There's a recent team event that... Let's see. Let me pull this up here. Not the Boca or Brawl. The Southeast Queensland Team Championships in Australia that they just published the list submissions. And if you go to conflictchamber.com/?event=17, it is interesting to know that the most represented faction in this was Scorn. And Scorn's biggest, most popular theme was...
well, there are a bunch of criminals there.
Was Masters of War. So, I mean, I am expecting Masters of War to make a significant appearance in the meta.
Can you actually run... I don't know if you don't have to answer this. Can you actually run data on what people have saved for lists on Conflict Chamber?
I can, but I haven't. I generally abide by the rule that anything somebody saves on the list is private.
Sure.
So
I was just curious. Yeah. I mean, if there was something that... It would be kind of a neat statistic to at least see anonymously. It was like how many people have created, you know, scoring theme lists or, you know, see what the most popular is.
I have the ability to do so. I have not done it.
Okay.
I mean, the list for the tournaments, of course, since you're submitting it somewhere and the tournaments that do this move make it clear that it's published, then yes, I love looking at the data for that. But in general, I avoid I avoid looking at the stuff that
people make
have a reasonable expectation of privacy.
Yeah. Yeah, like when they're in the can at work and they're just trying to build a list in their free time, probably they don't expect that thing to see the world.
If you are building a list in the can at work, don't tell me, please.
That's how I make all my lists.
Yeah,
is in the can.
Don't tell me this.
Yeah, my phone is just a poop machine.
Are we still in Scorn? Or is there winds of death?
Didn't really change other than Merc Inclusion. Actually, no. It theoretically got nerfed in Merc Inclusion because other than Merc Inclusion, it did get nerfed because you can no longer take Marketh as a free model for.
Okay,
there's
another Scorn theme list on this. We're skipping it.
Nope. Children of the Dragon.
Yay.
Oracles of Annihilation.
Oracles got nerfed.
Oracles got nerfed.
Yeah, I think the free points went down.
Oh, yes. Oracles is now for 30 free points.
Yeah, you only get three.
Yep. Primal Terrors is the new one. Primal Terrors is also one of those themes that does not make a lot of sense because...
Nothing's out yet.
Yes, because a lot of the stuff... I mean, it explicitly allows a character war beast that doesn't exist yet. Hold on one second. Let's just go back to Children of the Dragon. Was this the one? No, which one was the one? One of them...
Next one down.
Ravens.
Yeah, that's the one.
Okay, Ravens was the one. Ravens got nerfed because it was the other theme that had no AD. It got that nerf to enemy models lose ambush. It did, however, pick up Hellmouths, which I think is a pretty substantial advantage.
Yeah, that's a trade I'd make.
Then we are in Blindwater, which is in the middle of CID, so it's probably not worth talking about.
Nope, because all of it's going to change.
Yep. Thornfall. I don't think it had any substantial changes.
It got Merc and Minion Inclusion.
No, it didn't, because it's already Minions.
Exactly. The more you know.
Okay. No, it got Brunn. Yes, that is the only inclusion for Thornfall is Brunn. Do we have any listeners who actually play Brunn?
If there's any Minions players listening, play Brunn more.
I played Brunn a lot on Kador sometimes. Some of the new stuff.
Everyone needs to play Brunn more.
I haven't messed with them yet in the news.
All right. We have Will Work for Food is the next one, which is the take all comers minions list. It's pretty good, but it hasn't really changed since the last we saw it.
Yep. So that's all the themes.
That is the two Grimkin themes, except...
sell you on Brunn? He's a bear, dude. Bears are awesome.
Brunn is the
Brunn is a Rulik. Brundle. Lug is the bear.
Yes.
Lug's a bear, yeah. Also, Brun's a dwarf. I don't know.
What is Zoo?
Are you talking about the magic list? Zoo?
I don't know what you're talking about, but we should be done with that.
Yes, thank Christ.
All right. Thief Horses, are we done?
One more thing.
Grimkin. Oh,
Grimkin got eyelash. No one cares.
Actually,
I care.
Actually, you know who didn't get eyelash yet? Is all the people who got it mailed to them.
I just picked it up at the store.
Yeah, I feel bad for the subscribers, but it's, you know, usually they got that like almost a week before retail, so that's interesting that they didn't get their copies yet.
Bump in the Night went from one Murder Crow getting ambushed to all of your Murder Crows getting ambushed.
That's always been like that since it was released?
No, it was originally one.
I cheated. My bad.
I thought you said you didn't take Murder Crows.
I tried it once with the Heretic before Murder Crows were even released. Back when Heretic was the only caster I had available to me.
Sure.
In those dark days before the Dreamer was released.
I still need to get all the casters for Who's the Boss. I actually own only one Grimkin caster, and that is the Heretic. Oh, excuse me.
So those are the theme lists. I mean, all in all, Ret Player, I'm happy with Defenders because it got a lot better and there are a lot more different Defenders
Arctic Circle
lists.
Does point out that you can take Eilish for free in Bump, which is pretty cool. He should be in every Bump list.
But weren't you saying that you should always just play Dark Menagerie instead, anyway?
Yeah, but if you're playing Bump, like, you should have Eilish in there. Because I think Wanderer is the only one who's better in Bump than I.
Okay.
And Wanderer came out recently, so...
But anyway, Carapace on Crixjax, I think is going to make a difference, especially because Morty 2 is actually good in that list. Masters of War, I think is going to make an impact in the meta. Just as a Ret player, I'm really happy with Defenders. I'm not sure it's really going to make that much of a difference, although Ret was already pretty good, but Ret got better. Outside of that, I mean, I think this was a step forward just because we have every model is now in a theme.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of those models are still not playable, but at least every model is.
I do like how they had like a low grade mea culpa for long gunners by making trencher long gunners, which are just strictly better. They cost slightly more points, but even with that, they're just better long gunners.
I think the other thing, though, too, to really take away from this is you should just get out there and play with the themes that are out there right now. You know, it's how the game is. There's no reason to sit there and complain about how the state of the game is right now.
Yeah.
These are your rules. Might as well just play them and have fun.
Yeah.
Sitting there complaining about like how things used to be will get you nowhere.
I understood when not everything could be taken in a theme force and not everyone had equal levels of theme force or, you know, whatever it was. I could understand people complaining about theme forces then back when like it was like Storm Division was the only powerful theme force.
Like most people didn't have a proper theme force to work
that
with.
That is no longer the case.
Correct.
So it's just...
I mean, they're out of the theme forces there, I mean, suddenly we may be talking about, you know, Bump or talking about those in 6 months from now where some of these theme forces might have a hidden gem that just somebody hasn't really explored yet.
Yeah.
And you can't find it unless you actually sit down and play it.
Faithful Masses is one of those that I suspect there are going to be some really strong Faithful Masses lists just because of what it allows in it and what the theme benefit is. I think there are going to be strong lists that we haven't seen yet just because of time. Mm-hmm. I mean Ghost Fleet took a while before it really took off because people had to get time with it, had to work on the builds for it, and I think there are multiple lists in here that we're going to see evolve quickly and come out with strong lists.
And
Masters of War, Faithful Masses, a couple others here and there. I think Defenders is going to have some really strong builds.
Yeah.
From my understanding, though, too, is Privateer had said that this is not specifically built for the tournament environment. This is just thematic lists for the armies themselves. I mean, it's...
Yeah.
But are we done with theme forces?
Finally.
Stop drinking?
I felt like we spent 2 hours in Ret.
It felt like we spent 2 hours in Ret. Unfortunately, when I have to listen to this again tomorrow, Well, actually, the best part is, though, is I can just mark down on here that says like a minute, an hour and 30 into it.
Yeah.
And then just have like theme forces covering that whole bracket.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I don't have to.
It only took so long with Red because you kept having side conversations in the middle of it.
Yeah,
that's true. We should have focused more on Red.
No.
More time on Red.
No.
Focus on Red.
I'm happy if you focus on Red because then you're not focusing on Kador.
Nyar.
I'm glad that they took away AD
Nyar.
From Nyar. Jaws of the Wolf so then you can't build your bullshit Harkovich list.
I'm still going to build the bullshit Harkovich list. It's just not going to be as bullshit. And it will make Jake sad when he tries to put drop bears into it.
Drop bears.
I need to pick up two growlers. I think I need two growlers.
Mm. Everyone should buy two units of bears, even if you don't play trolls. If you ever do get into trolls, you'll appreciate those two units of
bears. You know what helps?
Yes, buy up all of the bears so your local troll players can't get any. That's a great strategy. Yeah.
They're really nice sculpts, though, too.
Yeah.
Grind Duga is fucking amazing.
All the troll, like, the reason why I play trolls, like, even if I don't consider them as competitive as other factions, is strictly because every single model in that faction is gorgeous.
The models are great. They have a lot more character than the other
very
factions.
Happy when they decided to basically go with Grind Duga as, in a sense, their troll caster.
Yeah.
Or their troll sculptor. And he is amazing.
Wall to wall, all of them look great.
All right, Deputy.
Grumble.
Nyar.
We're on for that. So we don't really have that many in here. We have one here. So let's go with your favorite Star Wars character, including cartoons and extended universe.
Oh, God, this is putting me in, like, the nerd spot. I actually don't care that much for Star Wars. Well, but Han Solo, because he's a fucking badass.
Okay. I mean, it's, you know, I'm not saying that's a legit answer or not, but yeah. That is an answer. As the only,
I would have to go. I think I would have to stick with Han Solo, just because I mean, in the canonical movies, I think he had the most interesting character arc.
He's the only one who really had a character arc.
That may also be true.
Luke had a pretty good character arc.
Eh.
He started out wanting to save the universe and ended saving the universe. Like
he didn't want to save the universe. He just wanted to be a pilot.
That's fair. He just
He just wanted to leave the farm is really his main goal.
Yeah, but he didn't like.
He was sick and tired of getting power converters at Tashi Station.
As much as they talk about the hero's journey and everything, he didn't really reject the call.
No, I mean most characters in the hero's journey do not reject the call.
That's part of the hero's journey. Is like step one, reject the call. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's why
I read an annoying amount of Carl Jung. It's reject the call. Don't read the hero's journey. It sucks.
Mm.
That book is awful.
Why are you using it as backup for evidence against?
I mean, the ideas postulated in it are brilliant, but at the same time, it's not a good read.
Okay. Zavity. Oh, I didn't say what my favorite character is.
That was Joseph Campbell, not Jung. Come on now.
Nice that we
apparently you have not read enough Hero's Journey.
Yeah, and the book is a hero with a thousand faces. It's not even called The Hero's Journey.
Yes.
All right,
as I said, I think that's why Han Solo had the more interesting character arc. But anyway,
my favorite character.
I thought
Young was the collective unconscious, collective subconscious.
That's I don't want to jump on board the Han Solo
like
train.
Months, 6 years since I read that book.
I do not want to jump onto the Han Solo train. I guess I like more of the odd side characters. I like Salacious Crumb. But all he is just a... You don't know who Salacious Crumb is, do you?
No. I haven't actually seen the original three movies in probably 15 years.
Well, here's an interesting fact about the original series, is that they don't even mention most of the characters' names.
Yeah.
Like, Salacious Crumb, if I mention who he is, then you're like, oh, yes, I know who he is. The same thing was like Bossk or IG-88 or Dengar. You don't exactly know who those guys are, do you?
No.
Yeah, exactly, because they don't mention their names. But
who's Salacious Crumb?
Salacious Crumb, he's the little the Joker sidekick. That's with
Is he the rat? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's Salacious Crumb. IG-88, Dengar, and Bossk are all the bounty hunters from Empire that Vader meets to capture Han Solo.
I really don't remember. Oh,
yeah. Or no, was it? No, it was to capture Luke, wasn't it?
Fuck. I think it was to.
No. It was. They hired them to capture Luke, but they end up using Han as the test.
Okay.
To see if
that was the carbonite thing.
Yeah. Because it was Boba Fett who actually ended up.
Boba Fett was very concerned that the device was going to kill Solo, and he needed Solo alive for the full bounty.
For the full bounty, yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
You don't know about IG-88?
No.
God, if Nathan was here, he would punch you. He would then also go into a giant rant about how amazing IG-88 is and how great he was in one of the side stories where he took over the Death Star.
My formative Star Wars, when I was going to fall in love with Star Wars... Mm-hmm. The age I was at was when the prequel trilogy came out.
Oh, my God.
Which, sorry, Andy, but, like...
Something inside me died. I don't know what it was.
Those movies were ass. So, like, for me, Star Wars is... Like, when I think of Star Wars, I think of Mace Windu. I think of asses. I think of Christian, whatever his name is, as Anakin Skywalker being all mopey and stuff. Like, it doesn't bring good memories to me.
Your first memories are of the prequels?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that.
What is wrong with your parents?
My mom was livid when we ended up leaving Phantom Menace early. Because she grew up with Star Wars, and it was like kind of like a big part of her life when she was a kid. She had a lot of fun memories for it. So she was so happy when apparently she took me to go see the re-releases.
Mm-hmm.
In theaters, but I honestly don't remember them.
Okay, that's understandable.
But she was so excited to take me to go see Phantom Menace. I think it came out in 99, right? I was like 6 or 7 years old.
Approximately.
6 or 7 years old, so that was like just the right time for me to like meet this world and like fall in love with this idea and everything else.
And then you were assaulted by midichlorians.
Yeah, like I think
that's actually built for kids, though. Technically, what George Lucas built the Phantom Menace is for kids. But yeah. We're going to also incorporate a really, really in-depth, crappy storyline involving economics and diplomacy.
Like, it was just so
it was
boring.
Like the D&D group at
so,
Pegasus.
Oh. They're playing Pathfinder, man.
Well, now they're playing Starfinder, so it is literally the Phantom Menace.
It is. Oh, they kill me every day. But like,
talk about taxes on space stuff.
Yeah, but like, we just sat there. I just remember her... It wasn't. She was really upset about Jar Jar because she recognized Jar Jar for the racial.
Are you really sure? Because honestly, every single person that I know that was a Star Wars fan that watched it back in the day, as a person who went to Wing Commander just to watch the fucking trailer for The Phantom Menace, I saw Wing Commander just for that. But
she wasn't like a huge Star Wars fan, right?
Okay.
But, like, it was like the warm, like the nostalgia feeling of like remembering to go see it when she was a kid.
Because everybody that I know that went to go see The Phantom Menace walked out of the theater going, it wasn't so bad. And then it was literally the next 3 months of everyone just finally going, wait a second, we saw shit. And
then you saw Attack of the Clones and it was like, oh my God, this is unwatchable.
And then
it's
getting worse.
I remember her refusing to go see Attack of the Clones.
Yeah. I mean, I really feel that...
might have stayed through it, and I'm just remembering her refusing to go see Attack of the Clones. But I just remember, not liking the movie, thinking it was like alternating between like just stupid as hell and like denser than the Bible, and it just couldn't.
A lot of fans, people that I knew went to go see Phantom Menace, went to go see Phantom Menace multiple times just because it was the first new Star Wars thing in 20 years.
Yeah,
actually 20 plus years, and. And
it was only 16 years because Jedi was in 81 and Phantom Menace was in 90.
Jedi was 83.
Jedi was 83. When
so
was
I think it was I think it was 99 or 2000 was.
So yeah,
Phantom
okay,
Menace came out.
You're close enough.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I mean, all the re-releases
while,
just happened recently at that point then too. But I really feel that it was a lot of the pass around media after the Phantom Menace came out that a lot of people just started really kind of souring on it.
Yeah. I remember her going and buying. I do remember very clearly her going and buying the DVDs for the original Star Wars trilogy and making me watch those, so that I at least got something good out of it. I think she just felt it was bad, and she had enough nostalgia to go want to see it, but not enough to like, I mean, I think be blind to it.
More than anything else, Phantom Menace was just really disappointing because, I mean, I think if you look at it as a science fiction film, not outside of the Star Wars line, it's not terrible. It just horribly fails to meet up to any sort of expectations. And then Attack of the Clones was legitimately terrible.
I have something to show you guys after this that you definitely need to see at least the first portion of it. It's only 10 minutes long. You need to see the first portion of it.
I do remember Nate making a very, very good argument, and I personally cannot make it, that Phantom Menace is actually the best film in the trilogy, in the prequel trilogy.
The prequels, yes.
Yeah.
The prequels, it is. I mean, there's parts of it that drag on. I mean, like, technically you don't need the pod race scene.
Yeah.
But generally, overall, it is the most watchable of the three.
Yeah, I do remember I almost got Nate to punch me in the face with my very punchable face by bringing up that General Grievous could have Jedi powers because he could have midichlorians going through his tubes. He was not pleased by that joke at all.
He's also basically a droid.
Yeah.
I mean, he's the only thing that's even biological in him is his heart. Isn't
I think he's
heart
got
and brain, maybe?
Yeah.
But, I mean, he's minimal.
Yeah. That movie was very bad.
Yes. I am just happy that Episode 7 was actually decent, and then Rogue One was amazing.
Mm-hmm. I didn't like Rogue One.
You don't like Rogue One?
No.
I thought Rogue One was great. I mean, my hierarchy of Star Wars films is Empire Strikes Back at the top, and then Rogue One.
There was no characters had arcs.
I agree with Jake in that regard. To basically, Rogue One, it had a lot of characters in it, but it had the Titanic issue. We know how it was going to end. We knew that all these people that were going on this were going to die.
Yeah.
But like, if there's a scene. I think is like about a third of the way through. The main character, whose name I've forgotten because I'm a bad person,
Jin,
she's going to rescue this kid that's caught in the middle of this firefight between rebels and troops. And if she made the choice to not rescue the kid or not put herself in risk to rescue the kid, then her arc would be complete with her making a sacrifice for a greater cause.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But instead they did a save the cat moment wherein like she goes from being willing to sacrifice her life to save others to being willing to sacrifice her life to save others. Like, those characters really don't develop or change. And I've watched it one time and, you know, maybe on further repeated watchings, like, it's more apparent how they change, but for me, I didn't get that.
There isn't much character building in that film other than knowing maybe their name. I mean, other than, like, this is random Asian guy that thinks he knows the Force. This is random Asian guy that hangs around with random Asian guy that thinks he knows the Force, but has a proficiency to big guns.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. I mean, there isn't that much in there. I mean, like, the which is odd because it's the robot. The only one that really has a giant character arc is K2SO.
Yeah.
I mean, but he's a robot throughout the whole thing. I like Rogue One. I really like how it ties directly to A New Hope.
That is the movie when people told me that Vader was this scary dude in the original trilogy. Like, I didn't see it.
Yeah,
but like in his like brief maybe 30 seconds of being in Rogue One, I'm like, holy shit!
Yeah,
I get it now.
If they started A New Hope with that.
Yeah,
with Vader just chopping down people left and right.
Well, like
throwing people with Force punches.
Yeah, yeah. Like him just being like ceiling cut in half. Like I'm like, oh my god! Like no wonder this dude's like an actual physical threat.
Guy holding his hand through a door is like, take the desk, take the desk.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like that I got. But, like, especially, like, my preface for what Anakin Skywalker is Hayden Christian running around being like, I hate sand.
Yeah.
It gets between my toes or whatever stupid fucking thing
it is. It gets in my vagina. It makes me sad.
Yeah, but, like, man, that was a misfire. I do feel like
Force Awakens?
For Force Awakens. God, I'm blanking on his name, too. The guy from Adam Driver. I can't remember the character name, but Adam.
Yeah, it's Kylo Ren.
Kylo Ren, yeah. Kylo Ren, I think, is honestly what Anakin probably should have been. He's just angry as a young every Darth direction. Fader. Yeah. He's angry in every direction. He can't really contain it. Like, mm-hmm. that was interesting for me. Instead of being like, I listened to him, All American Rejects.
I killed them all. When he was complaining about killing all the Jedi kids.
Yeah. I loved Kylo Ren in Force Awakens because they had a angry Darth Vader fanboy as the villain, and it was great.
Yeah. It fit well. I really like his overall character, his whole character arc. I mean, mm-hmm. basically leading up to the demise of your favorite character. So, I mean, that's...
I do have a
can't really talk about... We could usually talk about spoilers. When he basically stabbed Han.
Wait, Han dies?
Yep.
I haven't seen the last third of Force Awakens.
Are you kidding me?
I didn't know Han dies, but yes.
Jesus Christ.
I was in Michigan when I went to see it, and naturally part of the theater caught on fire while I was watching the movie.
How is this not a story that you tell everyone, like, when The Force Awakens comes up? It's like, I was watching The Force Awakens. It was pretty good until the theater caught on fire.
Well, it wasn't, like, a big fire. There was, like, a small fire, like, one of the popcorn.
You gotta exaggerate it, too.
I don't want to exaggerate it, because I don't want people to be like, oh, Michigan, everything's just on fire all the time.
It's not.
It's like 50-50.
Was it near Detroit?
No, it was in mid-Michigan.
And then it's just by proxy.
Yeah, no, it was in mid-Michigan. Just like the popcorn maker, like, caught on a small fire, but they had to evacuate the theater.
Was there a good part of the story that came out?
No, it was just like...
So you missed...
I missed the last third of Force Awakens, and I just haven't gone to see it.
They didn't give you, like, a ticket at all?
They did, but, like, I got married the next day and went home.
So, like, when the random happenstance that happened to us at a theater, when all the theater, everything was broken, we got to see Speed Racer on the Ultra Screen.
Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah. And then we went, Jim and I, we basically went home. Everybody thought we were drunk and convinced two other people to go back to the theater immediately and go watch Speed Racer again for the second time on IMAX.
Speed Racer is amazing.
It's fucking good. It's fucking amazing. Anymore.
It is the most colorful movie ever made. But Zappity.
Yeah, that's Star Wars characters. There is no other ones on here. Somebody had mentioned about what are the rules for casters and who's the boss that work for multiple factions. Like Kane 3, he said Kane 2, and Old Witch 2 and 3. Is it necessary to have one for each faction who they work for, or does the person get to choose which one they get to spin with? I already answered this question. Kane 3 is very similar to Constance Blaze, where she is a merc. And Kane 3 is technically a mercenary who works for Signar.
Yes.
Yep. Who's a Signar partisan. So if you're running a Who's the Boss, there's no reason to have two different Kane 3s. Kane 3 is a mercenary. And it goes the same thing with Old Witch 2 and 3. Technically, Old Witch 2 works for Kador. Old Witch 3 works for Grimkin.
Yeah, they also have, as we talked about earlier, Old Witch 2 and 3 do have different rules.
Yeah, they have slightly different spell lists. So... it's very easy if you just want to place Old Witch 2 and 3 as one spot on the wheel. That way you don't have to buy $205 models.
Yeah.
Is that 105, is it? Or
130.
Like, 130?
Yeah.
Yep.
You picked it up for me, Andy.
I didn't buy it for you.
Yeah,
did I?
Yeah.
I don't remember buying it.
You bought it for me at whatever con.
Yeah, I bought it at Gen Con. I don't remember it, though.
I paid you for it.
Yep, you did.
You also picked up Siege 2. I don't know why.
This is going to be amazing.
I'm probably wrong.
Yeah. But, no, there's no reason to have multiples of those on the wheel unless you really want to, like me, which I will have two versions of her on the wheel. And that's it for Zappy Grumbles, so we're off to recommendations. Right. If we want to cruise through that, we want to cruise through that very quickly here because we're coming up on the two-hour fucking mark. Who would have thought that three people could make 3 hours of content or 2 hours of content?
Well, we got to talk about War Machine.
Yeah.
And Rhett for like
and
5
Rhett.
Hours.
Yes, and we didn't even get done talking about Rhett.
Oh, yeah. We're done talking about Rhett.
Yeah.
All right. So go to recommendations. I don't have anything yet, so go ahead.
Okay. So for my recommendation, check out the awesome classic HBO television show Deadwood. It teaches you to swear in many new and useful ways. Do not watch it with your kids, but it is an excellent show that honestly doesn't have much of a plot a lot of the time, but it has really well-established, interesting characters who make dynamic changes, and, you know, it's just fantastic.
Have you made it all the way through?
Yeah. Yet?
Okay.
Yeah.
So, I don't want to give away a spoiler, but the ending for the show is probably, honestly, one of my favorite endings to a series.
Yes.
It is, because it's not an ending.
Yeah.
It is literally just another day in Deadwood.
Yeah. And that's a big part of the themes of the show, is that, like, this is literally just the slice of life for this town. And if you have to say that there is a bigger overarching theme to it, it's about how individuals come together to form communities.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, that's really looking at it at a macro level, and it's not needed to really enjoy the show.
It is a slice of life, or basically you're experiencing their experiences at Deadwood.
Yes.
It is an amazing, amazing show. So,
yeah.
No, yeah. I agree. Deadwood is fucking amazing. You know they're trying to make a movie?
Yes, I have no hope in it, because they've been saying they've been trying to make a movie basically since the show got canceled.
Pretty much, for the past 10 years.
Yes, it is an excellent, excellent show. Kind of like a forgotten gem of that, kind of golden age of HBO.
It was basically, it was one of those shows that, in a sense, the budget got too big for the show, because there was
45 characters in it.
Yeah.
Brad Dourif's character just straight up disappears in the third season.
Brad Dourif, I don't know.
He's the doctor.
Well, he kind of went crazy a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit, but... he was one of the leads in season one, but, by season three, he was just, vanished.
It is a great... overall, if you like Westerns, it is a great show to watch, overall, through the whole thing.
Even if you don't like Westerns, it's not like a John Wayne Western.
So my recommendation then is going to be built off of that, mm-hmm. because I'm going to give you another assignment for a show you need to watch.
Yeah.
So the show you need to watch is basically built off of Deadwood. So you take Seth Bullock's character.
Justified?
And then you put him in modern time.
I've watched all of Justified.
You've watched all of Justified?
Yeah.
All right, that's
not great. Second season's best season.
Let me just say that I grew up where Justified supposedly takes place.
In Tennessee?
No, it's in Kentucky.
Is it in Kentucky?
It's in Kentucky.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Half of it's in Lexington, half of it's in Hazard County.
I found out what a holler was from that show.
And, yeah, that's the... when I lived in Kentucky, we would hang out and watch it and make fun of when they were saying, oh, they're at this part in Lexington. It's like, no, you're on a set.
You're very clearly in Vancouver.
Yeah. It's like you're on a set somewhere. This is not Lexington. Kentucky does not look like this.
Because if they would, they would be shot.
No, they wouldn't.
Lexington's fine.
Yeah.
That's where William Shatner lives.
Oh, that makes me not want to go to Lexington.
What? What do you have against William Shatner? Say it now, or forever hold your peace.
I just didn't like Boston Legal.
What is wrong with you?
I have
How do you not like Boston Legal?
That actually
is a national treasure of a television show. That basically took the practice and just slam-dunked it into obscurity. The last season of The Practice is the best episode or best season of The Practice, because then it basically became Boston Legal. It became the Jane Spader and William Shatner show.
That it was fun. I just don't like
Denny Boston Crane. Legal. Come on, you gotta love Denny Crane.
Yeah, watch Boston Legal too. It's great.
He's also on our local Hupie and Abraham commercials.
Oh, really?
Yeah. William Shatner did commercials for our local lawyer office, Hupie and Abraham.
Yeah. I really don't have anything against William Shatner. I just knew making that joke would piss you off.
Would set me off?
Yeah, it was like a troll.
It would probably set off Nathan even more so.
Yeah, I mean, I have to choose my troll punches when I have them. Otherwise, real punches are delivered.
Yeah, I don't punch, and I don't have the wit that Nathan has to really combat your stupidity.
It's really Nathan's wit that I'm most afraid of. He hurts me. He hurts me with his words.
But yeah, I grew up there where Shatner lives, and it was amusing because he would just pop up randomly in the news. And there was one time there was a shooting in the parking lot of a store. I mean, unlike Michigan, shootings are rare enough that it actually shows up in the news.
Yeah, I remember the first time.
Unlike in Michigan.
No, there was one time where a shooting got on the news and 8 people had to die before it was newsworthy. I was like, damn.
But yeah, there was a shooting at the parking lot of a store, and in the article in the newspaper, there was a picture of William Shatner there because he was in the store at the time.
Give him the chair! Andy's lifting the chair up. Andy's kind of putting it gently over me. Andy got close to hitting my head, but didn't.
Jake flinched.
I'm not going to actually cause a concussion.
You're not going to give me the chair.
Yeah. Maybe after hours,
I will.
But not on the clock.
Not on the clock.
Yeah.
All right, so we went through ours. He recommended Deadwood. I recommended Justified. Also, Justified is just a fucking amazing show. The character building on there is beyond means. I mean, like, they have their villain of the season or villain of the half of the season. The character building on the villain is just so good.
Yeah, the only one I really didn't like was season 3, and it might have been just a letdown from how good season 2 was.
You're talking about the guy with the guns that pop out of his hands?
Maybe.
But it was the one that was also a villain on...
It was the one that followed character actress Margot Martindale as the bad guy.
Oh, Margot is she's the apple,
yeah,
apple pie
poison
mama.
Her, because she was absolutely amazing, and I think the season I fell in love with the show from that season, and I think it might have been like just watching season 3 immediately after, and it was not as good, so it was a little bit let down.
I really like I cannot think of the character's name, but he was the guy who had the pop out guns from his hands, who eventually turned into a druggie. And then eventually started coming back to become more of a badass, and then died in a shootout to Rayland, because that's what most of the villains do in the show, is die in a shootout to Rayland.
Yeah.
All right, David. Sorry.
I don't know. Honestly, I do not consume very much media at all.
Should people check out Louisville Basketball?
Yes. I can recommend wallowing in Schadenfreude at the fall of Louisville basketball, because I am. So as I said, I grew up in Lexington, so I'm a Kentucky fan.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if you follow college basketball, that is equivalent to me outing myself as a Satanist. Because
you're not. No, you're not.
Okay, it's not a Duke fan.
Yeah, like that'd be a Duke fan. Like you're
is Duke actually located at?
That's in Chapel Hill. No, that's
in Durham, North Carolina, which is basically adjacent to Chapel Hill.
Yeah. Okay. But, so, like you are, like, you're a Mormon. You're just more annoying than anything else.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's the in college basketball, Duke is the most hated fan base, and then
they just come to your door and try and convert you. I have nothing against Mormons. I love them, but like, it's really annoying having to answer my door and say, "No, I don't want to be a Mormon 9 times."
It's not always Mormons that come to your door. Jehovah's
Witnesses. Jehovah's Witnesses.
Oh, really? We had tons. We mostly had Mormons when I was growing up.
Yeah.
Wow.
Interesting fact. I'll say offline.
So Kentucky basketball. We had a coach who won a championship, Rick Pitino, and then he left for the NBA because after he told everyone he wasn't going to leave, regardless of how much money they offered him a lot of money, and he left. And then he went to Louisville after he got fired from the NBA. And he managed to keep his job after fucking his equipment manager's wife in a restaurant bathroom.
He said it only lasted 30 seconds. In court.
In his defense.
That was what he said?
Yes, yes.
That was his defense.
It only 30 seconds at the most.
Jesus.
Yes.
What's that saying about him?
So
I mean, he was like 80 years old at the – not 80. He's probably like – mid-50s by that time?
60s, definitely.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, like, dude.
Ugh.
Yeah.
So, way to get there, man. So
he survived that. He survived a scandal in which boosters for the University of Louisville were hiring prostitutes for recruits. And he just got fired this past week for being under FBI investigation for bribery.
I've seen stories on that.
So if you are a Kentucky fan, you can wallow in. I recommend wallowing in Schadenfreude at the moment, because Kentucky gets accused of doing all sorts of sleazy stuff in basketball all the time, and it is beautiful when somebody else actually gets caught for it.
Yeah. So speaking of sports, I have to make a quick apology.
What?
Yes. Last week, I made fun of Blake Bortles for being a terrible quarterback.
No one cares.
Naturally, he threw 4 touchdowns on 250 yards.
The only
I apologize,
that cares
America.
Is Blake Bortles and his family. Those are the only people that care. Maybe somebody who decided after losing their number one quarterback and picked them up off the waiver wire.
Yeah. But the other 51 weeks of the year, Blake Bortles sucks.
51 weeks of the year?
Like, if you're listening, get in touch with us, and we'll have you as a special guest next week.
Blake Bortles.
Oh, my God. How great would it be if Blake Bortles just was like, I love your podcast.
You're going to get hit in the head with a chair.
Andy will hit Jake with a chair if we can get Blake Bortles.
Yeah, why don't we let Blake Bortles hit me with a chair?
If we can get 3 more Patreons to Crippled Systems Patreon, I will film myself hitting Jake in the head with a chair. Jake, will you take three? A single chair shot to the head.
Hold out for four, Jake. Hold out for four.
How much money am I getting from this?
I'll buy you a soda.
Hmm.
Well, actually,
you drive a hard bargain, Andy.
I'll get you some Fireball whiskey. Some Fireball whiskey and some A&W root beer.
I'm not going to let you hit me in the head of the chair.
Oh.
I am sorry.
What will it
take for us to hit you in the head with a chair?
You got 20 grand?
No, not 20 grand.
I've had multiple concussions from growing up. Like,
well, you'll be fine then. It's just one more to add to the bunch.
I don't think you understand how concussions work, Andy.
They're fine.
No.
They're fine. I mean, they work well for Hernandez. Oh.
Holy shit.
Oh. Yeah. Zappity.
Grumble.
All right. I guess we're done now for the podcast. Thanks, you guys, for watching. We're going to call it quits.
All right.
Later.
Night, folks.